You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Do you have anything significant to add here?
Hey, I'm working out some material, man. What's eating you?
What did you just say?
What's eating you?
Say that again.
What's eating you?
One more time, please.
What's eating you?
Like Ronald Reagan.
Will, what's eating you?
Like a question on Jeopardy.
What is, what's eating you?
In a racist Chinese accent.
Oh, what's I eating you?
Like a sexy young schoolgirl.
What's eating you?
One more time, regular.
What's eating you?
What's up with him?
It's Friday, Friday, bingo play on the highway. Everybody's looking forward to your silence, silence.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
16-12-1, hello.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, that guy's a huge douche.
Roll another one.
I used to like him, and now I hate him.
Just like the other one.
Not like it would make them dickheads.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Who could give me another name for gonorrhea?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Even deaf people are complaining.
Roll.
I just suck.
Just like the other one.
That was ugly.
This one seems to be about to end.
And she beat him off.
I don't have another cent.
The wild women, the wild women, the ripping and the tearing, the ripping and the tearing.
I can't even believe that something's real.
Just pass it around.
I don't know. How'd they do it?
And now,
hey, will you guys let me know if this ever airs?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show, and it's a Friday morning.
Hello, testing. Hello, can you hear me? Hello,
yes.
Testing.
Yep,
yeah,
you're
sounds
there.
Good.
We've had quite the day. I'll tell you that. It's a miracle that we're on the air. We're on the moon.
Yeah. That's when I came in, it was all just nightmarish.
Yes, it's been a fascinating few minutes. And it's also interesting. I'm broadcasting from a super secret location. Exactly.
Yes.
It's also interesting to see the various ways that people react under pressure as the clock is counting down to the final second that you go on the air.
Yeah.
Beer mug just freezes.
Yeah.
Beer mug just throws his hands up in the air and goes, well, I guess this isn't happening.
Yep. Yeah.
And you, of course, have seen that more than anybody, right?
Do you want to know what I saw when I walked in? I saw Omar was here, and
yes.
Beer mug was running around. Everybody was, like, all crazy. And then I looked up, and I was like, hey, where's Don Bogart? And he went, oh, and so then he went and found Don Bogart, and he's like, I don't know what the cue is. And he's just completely discombobulated.
And, of course, I sent all that information to him by email, you know, so he had it.
Yeah.
But it's just hilarious to me that Beer Mug can only think of one thing at a time, and that thing is, I quit. That's the one thought in his mind is, I quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we are here. It is finally Friday, thank God, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm at the super secret location ahead of this afternoon's event that we're doing that we've been giving away tickets to all week, which is the kickoff, the end of summer weekend with the band Bush. They're going to be here performing live at the super secret location.
You just couldn't wait. You had to get there before all of us.
That's how much I can't wait for Bush.
Right.
Because it's been 85 years since their last record. Right. Hey, I got a story I want to start you with here. And look, what sports fan hasn't suffered through losing a team? When your city loses a team,
yeah,
it's a punch in the gut. You know, the Bay Area went through it when they lost the Raiders. Of course, you know, Southern California lost the Rams. I lost my Sonics a couple of years ago.
Southern California lost the Raiders.
Yes. Everybody lost the Raiders. You know, Baltimore lost the Colts. It happens from time to time. And you remember maybe Kevin as a big hockey fan back in 1996, one of the original franchises, the Winnipeg Jets, left Winnipeg,
yep,
which is a small, kind of a smallish town up in Manitoba, Canada. And they left. And you remember where they moved? Do you remember where the Winnipeg Jets ended
I
up?
I do not.
Is that they went to Phoenix.
Oh.
Yeah, they're okay. The Coyotes. Right. Yeah. So they left, so then there's a rabid NHL fan base up there without a team for all these years, and that's all they've been thinking about every single day. The Winnipegians wake up and they go, we got to get some hockey, eh? Yeah. So it finally happened. The Atlanta Thrashers folded last year, like Atlanta needed a hockey team, by the way. So they folded, and they moved back to Winnipeg. So they're getting ready to open up their first season in Winnipeg, and they had a big vote, and the fans all, you know, weighed in, and they decided to rename the team the Jets. So it's like a dream come true. For hockey fans in Manitoba,
all right.
The Jets are coming back. They're getting ready to open their season. Well, you think that that's all sunshine, lollipops, and little puppies, but now there's a huge controversy.
What?
Because when the season opens, apparently the NHL has booked the band Nickelback, the Canadian equivalent of Creed, to play the opening ceremonies
all
for
right.
the Winnipeg Jets' first game.
All right!
And people are losing their minds, even in Canada. Not Nickelback. Come on. Why don't you just take a poop on Santa? Why do you, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and now you're telling me that Nickelback is going to be playing?
Oh, this is so sad.
This is sweet.
Now, shockingly, and we've talked about that band in particular for many years, Nickelback has been one of the biggest mysteries in the music industry. They sell, I mean, their albums come out, and am I right, Kevin? They sell 5, 6, 7 million copies
yeah,
of their
huge,
records.
Huge. Huge.
And they sound like something that should have been buried with Limp Bizkit like 15 years ago. It's shocking to us that this band is still so huge. And in Canada, you know, you would think, I just always assumed, well, there must be people who like Nickelback there. And I guess there are, but apparently there are just as many who hate them. So there's a petition going on. There's an open letter to the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, that says we're begging you, no Nickelback. Here's part of the petition to the commissioner. As people who love music and love Winnipeg even more, we have a request. Please ensure that this does not happen. The return of the NHL to Winnipeg is something we have been dreaming about for 15 years. Please do not sully the celebration with the presence of a band whose very existence is antithetical to the concept of celebration. I Nickelback has heard about this, right?
Sure.
They must know about
this.
They
must get some of that everywhere they go, don't you think?
That's yes. Gotta be hard to hear.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, because they're Canadian and they're excited. Hey, hockey's here. We get to go play this Winnipeg opener, and then they find out that there's a petition to get them kicked off the bill. And then further on, it says, hey, on a serious note, if you can afford to pay Nickelback, you could probably afford to get Arcade Fire, who are uplifting, anthemic, and can also fill the MTS Center, which would be a, you know, I guess they're saying, and rightfully so, that would be a far, far more exciting evening.
Well, of course.
You got Arcade Fire kicking off the season. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I just love that. I guess I had forgotten that Nickelback still existed because it's been a long time since their last record. But they'll be here this afternoon opening for Bush, so we'll get a chance to kind of catch up with those guys.
That's true.
Oh, that's not happening.
I
got bad information.
If it is, you're going to be there by yourself. So you enjoy that.
So good times.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Bunch of douchebags.
Well, I mean, how do you know? We haven't even said it yet.
Yeah,
we could
exactly.
be.
Back off.
You could be right, but we haven't said it yet. Movie beat today because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I am a professional broadcaster on today's show.
Yes, you are.
Can't wait for that. That's going
to
be
to broadcasting
a lot of fun.
What Beer Mug is to problem solving.
That's correct. We have the Activision CEO, Eric Hirschberg, on the program talking about a little game called Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 3,
mm-hmm.
and it's coming out soon, and they're having their big fan fest this weekend. You did something crazy on purpose to get out of whatever situation.
Okay.
Wanted to get out of a fight, so he ran head first into a wall.
It worked.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine we're going to get a story that tops that. I mean,
I bet we will.
No, I can't.
I don't know.
I have heard of people acting crazy to get out of things before. I mean, it's not something most of us have in our arsenal.
Yeah.
But occasionally people will do it. If they just, you know, they want to get out of a situation, you just start acting wacky.
I've always thought that about prison. If I go to prison,
the first thing you're going to do
is flip the F out.
Right.
Yeah.
You're gonna smear your own feces on yourself the first day, because whoever is going to want to come near you again, because they're always going to remember, oh, that's that dude with the poo.
That was always my backup plan.
I
don't know why I have one for jail, but.
Well, frankly, you should.
Yeah. Also on today's show, we have, thanks for that tweet, Bean.
another exciting episode of that.
When did this get added to the schedule?
Oh, just at a certain point yesterday.
Sometimes there's just so much we have to, it forces its way in.
Yeah, we didn't want it, and yet it would not take no for an answer.
Exactly.
So we put it on.
That hurts me.
And we have Elizabeth Banks on the program
as well. That's what I'm talking about.
Dean wooed her last time we had her. So,
oh no, we've talked to her since then. Can we not bring up the slither this time?
Yeah, let's not bring up things that we say that are bad. That's a great idea, Dean.
We brought up
guy
slither.
That brings up stuff like that on me all the time,
right? But at some point we retire. I'm like, we don't bring up the Deirdick Dearden thing anymore with Rob because we've kind of all moved past that.
You do occasionally.
Not with Rob, but you bring it up with Kevin.
Yeah.
We covered my slither embarrassment with Elizabeth Banks last time she was on.
I think there's probably a whole new group of listeners who never heard it.
How dare you?
I'm a little vague.
Right?
Yeah.
I sort of remember. Yeah, I sort of remember, too. Let's get that tape, and we'll work it in. All right.
Lisa, I'm going to hit you right in the boner.
It's her dog. All right, we're going to take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat now.
Hey, party people. Welcome to a Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. The beautiful, talented, hilarious Elizabeth Banks joins us just after the top of the hour.
What did you do in Slither?
Okay. All right. I know. She's in that Our Idiot Brother movie, which I still haven't had the chance to see. But I love everybody in that movie with your Zooey Deschanel and your Rashida Jones and your Paul Rudd and your Adam Scott. I mean, what a cast. So we'll talk to her about that. Right now, it's time for the first Showbiz Beat of the day. Ralph Garman is here. What's going on, dude?
Do we have the Slither conversation?
I'm looking for it. We'll find it.
I'd like to carve out a little time here in the Showbiz Beat to play that to remind people who maybe haven't heard it what one of our other interviews with Elizabeth Banks was like.
It's nice of you to give up that time.
I think it's important to keep the listeners informed.
Hey, Omar, try and find Bean Slither.
Yes?
Okay.
Boy, there's a lot of confusion this morning.
Yes.
A lot of head shaking, a lot of arms going up.
Yeah.
I heard we're featuring some new merchandise on the Kevin and Bean website. We're going to make a beer mug in action figure.
What's it do, Ralph?
Nothing. Just stands there. Just freezes. So you can pick that up and have it for your own collection. All right.
It is fascinating to watch him, though. I mean, it really is because his mind just goes blank. He can do nothing.
I'm not the guy to make fun of somebody who could only focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
But he's spectacular.
Yeah, maybe he didn't have his spinach this morning. He's got his Popeye t-shirt on. Maybe he needs a spinach.
Did Jada Pinkett Smith and Mark Anthony really have an affair on the set of Hawthorne?
No.
I doubt it.
Sources tell Us Weekly magazine, the two did enjoy what could be misconstrued because it was an inappropriately close friendship. They were always touchy-feely on the set. They hung out all the time. They would text message each other. But one insider says they're pretty sure there was no mad, passionate affair. Jada may have overstepped her bounds a little bit by giving Mark some marital advice, which obviously turned out well.
How'd that work out?
But
for both of them.
But Jennifer Lopez certainly did appreciate that. But according to many sources on the set, there was no real affair. So we can put that rumor to rest. And it happens on the set sometimes. People get very huggy and, you know, flirty and stuff and everything because it's just, you're just working in close quarters.
Sure. So. By the way, think about for a moment how much more buff Jada Pinkett is than Mark Anthony.
Yeah.
She could crush him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably what he found a turn on. After spending all the time with that soft, curvy woman, he wanted a nice, sharp one. Hotter than a sharp woman.
Lindsay Lohan!
Just got herself a new tattoo. I'm glad her priorities are straight. I'm glad she recognizes the things she needs to do to really improve her life.
One of which, to
get more body art.
Hope it's on her face.
No, sir.
No?
It is on her rib cage.
Okay.
It is a quote.
Excellent.
And it reads thusly. Clear as a crystal, sharp as a knife, I feel like I'm in the prime of my life. That does sound familiar to you at all?
No.
It's the opening lines from I Go to Extremes, a song by Billy Joel from 1989.
Okay.
I can never listen to that song again, that's for sure.
How timely to get a Billy Joel tattoo in 2011.
Well, obviously those words spoke to her. Clear as a crystal, sharp as a knife, I feel like I'm in the prime of my life. And then apparently the artist who was working on that tattoo wrote simply underneath it, nope. It was a editorial comment from the artist.
Are you finished yet? Almost.
He speaks for all of us. We just finished this up. Nope.
I knew you'd be doing this story today, Ralph, and I thought for our listeners they might enjoy hearing. I do have a clip of the Billy Joel song if you want to hear actually how it was sung originally.
Absolutely.
By Billy Joel.
That'd be great.
Before Lindsay got a hold of it. Here it is.
My vagina so itchy. So, so itchy. So freaking itchy.
That's the
wrong part of the song. I guess he says that other thing
later.
That's
the chorus,
sorry.
I think.
That's
yeah,
the chorus,
yeah.
Right.
I go to extremes with my itchy vagina is the full name of the song.
Hi.
Congratulations to my buddy and partner Kevin Smith. Found out yesterday that AMC will, in fact, be producing a reality show.
Fantastic.
Based on his comic book store in New Jersey.
Oh, neat.
He's got a, he's had a comic book store there for many, many years in his hometown there in New Jersey that he started shortly after he had some success after Clerks. It's called Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. It is a wildly popular comic book shop, and they're doing a reality show about all the people who come in to buy their comics and the guys and staff that work there. AMC will be producing it, and we're going to see that next year sometime. So, congratulations.
How about that? Now, is he going to have to go back to New Jersey to be working in the shop and stuff as part of the reality show?
No. No, he will just be an executive producer of the show, and it is his shop, but he won't be appearing on the show. They've got a very staff of entertaining guys over there that will be carrying the show. Although, Kevin said, if they just pushed a little harder in negotiations, I have done the show for no payment beyond early access to every episode of Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and Walking Dead. Their lawyers should have worked a little harder on that. Speaking of Kevin, after a triumphant world tour, we're back here in Los Angeles tomorrow night at the Lovitz. We're doing Hollywood Babylon, of course, 10 o'clock tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Theater. You can go to BabylonRalph.com to get tickets and for more details. But it's me and Kevin doing our show.
Did you say triumphant world tour?
Yeah, we've been on the road for a while now, and we're back. And
I know you did one city in Texas.
I did two cities in Texas.
Okay,
Texas is big. It's like the world. It's an enormous state.
But then outside of that, fewer.
A part of the world, I think, can be considered the world. Can it?
I'm just saying it might be a misleading statement,
yeah,
but okay.
Right. After two shows in Texas, we're back in town. You really got to take the wind out of a big announcement, sorry. I'll tell you that much.
Why don't you just call the Super Bowl winner and tell them they're not world champions anymore, Kevin?
Yeah.
Why don't you just take all of the fun out of the world
buzz here? Buzzkill?
Just saying.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Mark Harmon. Mark Harmon.
Yes.
He's on that show my dad watches.
He is on the world's most popular television show.
That nobody watches.
That nobody watches. Well, a lot of people watch it. We don't watch it, though. He's on NCIS. He's 60 years old. Keanu Reeves is 47 years old today.
Whoa. Ralph, we have time. We do.
Or is he?
We did find the Slither clip.
Oh,
I don't know,
great.
Because we're going to talk to her next.
Well, let me burn through the birthdays quick. Lennox Lewis, former heavyweight boxing champ, is 46. Salma Hayek is 45 years old.
Oh!
Cynthia Watros from Lost and other entertaining programs is 43. Actor Cat Williams is 38. This is Bean interviewing Elizabeth Banks. I forget what project she was talking about. It was something not related to Slither.
It wasn't Slither.
One of her early films. But Bean couldn't just give it up. He just had to know more about her early film, Slither, the horror movie she made about snakes.
I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither? Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
Come on.
Back then.
Come on. That's spectacular.
What did you do back then in the olden Slither times?
I may not have had enough information to properly carry out a conversation about that movie.
Why would you pick on Slither? Why would that be your jumping off point to begin with?
I think it was the movie she had done before the one that she was on promoting with us, I guess.
No, Slither was a way back.
Here's what I like, though, is that at no point in that did he realize, like, I'm going down the wrong road, I'm going to pull the chute and get out, whatever, I can't keep going, but he kept going.
He's a Slither fan.
What did you do?
No, it was, it is not pretty to hear that at all.
Yeah.
I apologize to everyone involved.
I think we all enjoyed it pretty much this morning.
I do too.
I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
How about a little less of you, Kevin, and maybe a little less of me being a little more of Elizabeth Banks on the Kevin and Bean Show. What about that, ladies and gentlemen, huh?
It's always a good trade-off. Great pleasure to welcome Elizabeth Banks, who's so hot and so funny, and apparently, although I haven't seen it yet, so awesome in a movie in theaters now called Our Idiot Brother. Elizabeth, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Kevin and Bean. What's up?
It's great to talk to you. We were just discussing how, for whatever reason, we did not make it to Our Idiot Brother last weekend, and I feel like that makes us bad Americans, and I feel that we owe you one.
If you want to do your patriotic duty, you're going to need to see the movie this weekend.
Okay. All right. We're good with that because it looks good.
It's really good. You're not going to want your money back, I promise.
All right.
It's very fun.
Well, we have a couple things we want to talk to you about with this movie. And let's start with your good friend Paul Rudd, who you go back many, many years with. And now he's your brother in the movie. And by all accounts, I mean, people are literally already saying,
please consider Paul Mudd for an Academy Award Paul Rudd for an Academy Award because he's so brilliant in this movie. I mean, is there nothing this guy can't do?
He's pretty versatile, I will say. Yeah, we've been making movies together for 10 years, and this is a great character for him. This is the first time I've really seen him just be as loopy, doopy, dippy as I think we all kind of want to be on a daily basis. This is like the guy that I call him our Kramer. Like, he's just, he doesn't know where he's coming from or what he's going to do, and he's just like very open and sweet and loving and lovable. And
are you saying that he
kind of Paul?
Are you saying that he is someone's idiot brother in real life?
Well, he is someone's brother in real life. That's true.
That was not the question.
If they would call him an idiot.
All right.
And you are his sister, Miranda, and I understand that you are kind of a hateful, self-centered bitch on one side, but on the other hand, you're also like kind of sweet and loving on the other side. You kind of got to play the whole range of emotions in this one, it sounds like.
I think I would use the word bossy.
Okay.
I'd use the word bossy and insecure and very ambitious, that's for sure.
Yeah. This movie is rated R, which is great news for us. Whenever we see a movie that's R and not a PG, particularly when it's a comedy that might involve some sexy time, we get excited. Who is nude in the movie, Elizabeth? This might help sell some tickets for you.
Who's nude in the movie?
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, guys, it's mostly the men.
What?
Yeah.
Who made that decision?
The downstairs action, a little bit of junk in the movie.
Oh, no.
They got you, and they got Zooey Deschanel, and what's happening?
Great effect. Used to great effect.
All right, well.
Ladies show their boobies. Hmm.
See, now, you're driving people away at this point. Come on. And the other thing that I didn't read about in the first weekend of, the press that led up to the opening last weekend, and tell me if this is true or if I've heard this incorrectly. Rashida Jones and Zooey Deschanel are a lesbian couple in this movie.
That is correct. Now, see, ding, 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 didn't we just sell some more tickets?
Right. Yes. How is the movie not called Rashida Jones and Zooey Deschanel are lesbians in a movie? I mean, seriously, that's all you need.
Yeah, I don't know what the marketing team was thinking, but they are a lesbian couple in the movie, and they're very sweet, and they do make out, and it's pretty great.
Well, Elizabeth, you buried the lead then. You need to bring that up a little earlier in the conversation.
You asked me about naked boys.
All right. No, we didn't. We asked you about naked people. You said boys.
That's right.
Just to be clear.
Tell me about Willie Nelson being in the movie. This sounds like it might be entertaining as well.
I wish I could tell you that the real Willie Nelson is in the movie, but unfortunately, Willie Nelson is just the name of Paul Rudd's dog in the movie. He's a very sweet character, and he, we used his poops to fertilize weed in the movie.
Okay.
Partially where he gets his name, Willie Nelson.
Got it. All right. Good. I have a clip of you talking to, I believe it's one of your sisters. Is it Liz? Talking about her hair and the problems that she's having.
Yeah, we have a sister who sort of let herself go a little bit after having two kids, and we're giving her the advice that she needs to pull it together and become somebody that people might want to sleep with again.
You used to be so hot, Liz.
Yes.
I remember all my friends lusting after you. They thought you were, like, awesome.
Yes, you had the great boobs, and you're always tall. And
You're still tall.
Well, what's wrong with me now?
I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, what's going on with your hair here? You know, it's like a science experiment back there. And I know you own contacts, and you're wearing plastic shoes. And, I mean, what is this shirt even made of?
It's flax.
See? I mean, isn't that a food? You're wearing food.
Well, the movie looks funny, and we apologize to you personally that we haven't made it out to see it yet. But, man, what an unbelievable cast. All the people we mentioned, and Paul Rudd, I love this guy and everything he's ever done. And I'm very excited. Our Idiot Brother is the movie. It is playing all over the place. Elizabeth Banks, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. Well, 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 24 minutes after 6 o'clock.
That's the band where the guy sings in the band who just married Sofia Coppola.
That's
so
right.
He's got an Oscar in his house now, which must be kind of weird. All right, you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. 30 Seconds Tomorrow is on the way. Also, we'll hear some Blur coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We got Foo Fighters, Jimmy Eat World, and more. Thanks a lot for tuning in on a Friday.
We're doing the Showbiz Beat, and Ralph mentioned that David Hasselhoff, who was a judge on Britain's Got Talent, which is their version of the show, he got fired. Apparently the ratings dropped, and they did not think his performance was up to snuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, see you later, David Hasselhoff.
A source told the Daily Mirror newspaper in Britain, viewing figures were a little disappointing over the whole of the last series. Producers want a younger, fresher judging panel. So David Hasselhoff apparently out. We wanted to find out, this got to be crushing news for a guy like David Hasselhoff. But, you know, he's been fired before. He's probably going to bounce back okay. The Hoff joins us here on the Kevin Amici Show. What's going on, Mr. Hasselhoff?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hasselhoff here.
We're good. How are you?
I'm great. How you fellas doing this morning?
I'm glad to hear that you're in good spirits.
Oh, absolutely. Things have never been better.
Never been better.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you not like being on Britain's Got Talent?
No, that was great. I love that gig. But,
uh-huh.
You know, things happened, and they threw me off the show.
They did.
Well, it has to...
Coach A. Fantastico.
Right. It has to hurt a little bit for any older performer when you then pick up the paper and see they've decided to replace Hoff with someone who is, quote, younger, fresher, and more exciting.
No, it's their loss, because I'm moving on. I've got a lot of stuff coming up in my career, and I couldn't be more excited. I have an interview this afternoon for Nova Scotia's Got Talent.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know there
might
that...
be a judge over there. Maybe Guam's Got Talent. There's a lot of opportunities for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Those seem like a little bit of a step down when you're talking about compared to... You used to be on America's Got Talent. You lost that job,
that's
too,
where
right?
I started. America's Got Talent. Then I moved to Britain's Got Talent.
And now you're trying out for Guam?
Or Botswana's Got Talent. Looking forward to that. Hey, Zimbabwe. Well done. Nice job with that song.
It is also reported, David Hasselhoff, that you had some problems understanding the British accent of some of the contestants. Is that true?
Yeah, it's funny over there in England. They talk all...
Well, I mean, it's not quite that extreme, but...
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I was there. You weren't.
Okay. All right.
And then some juggler would come out, and I'd say, hey, great job juggling those juggle pins.
You call them juggle pins?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he'd say... And I'd say, I don't know what that means. And then they fired me.
How do you think it's going to be in Botswana? Better?
Ah, it's going to be great. I can't wait to find out where else in the world they have talent. I just
sure.
And I'm doing so much big stuff. I'm playing Captain Hook in a high school production of Peter Pan, I think.
Did you say high school?
I think
sad.
It is, yeah.
That's kind of sad. That's a step down.
And then, hold on, I have a little drink here.
No. David, listen, that's not going to make the career go any better if you're drinking.
Things are just tough. That's all I'm just saying.
Yeah, we know. No.
Sometimes they have a little pick-me-up in the morning.
But don't... See, this is how you've gotten into trouble before.
Oh, that's better, yeah. Oh.
Boy, alcohol affects David Hasselhoff faster than anyone did.
Lots of good stuff. Okay. I don't even need Britain.
Okay,
ask
but that's...
Britain, okay?
Oh, see, this is what we were trying to avoid.
Oh. I wish Hitler had won.
Oh, come on. Don't even say... Why would you say something like that?
What a stupid thing to say.
He didn't bomb him enough, I think. That's the only problem.
Stupid thing to say.
All right, you need to stop drinking right now, David.
Churchill was a fat bastard.
This is...
Oh, come on. Look.
This is just ugly drunk time.
It's just a TV show.
I'm all right.
Okay. Don't drink anymore. That's fine.
Stop.
You've had enough.
That's enough now.
Yeah, England smells.
Okay.
Teeth are bad.
Okay. It's not England's fault.
All their food
it's just
is brown.
It's just a well, that actually is true.
That
is true. It's
Every
just a TV.
Oh,
here we Oh, this is sad.
All right. Yeah.
You don't sound good.
This is a mess.
You want to tell us where you are and we can send help or
this is a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we What? What's happening?
He's singing Old Man River.
I hate England.
Oh, David, don't take it so personally. It's
they're
just...
all uncircumcised.
How do you know that?
I've seen a lot of English penis.
That's a low blow. Come on.
That's a little low blow. That was the problem.
All right. We can't make out what you're saying anymore, Hoff.
I don't want to make out.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you sound like you're drunk, and it's hard to hear what you're saying at this point. You need
right.
to lay down, get yourself a Carl's Jr. burger. You'll feel better.
Oh, I love burgers.
I know you do.
Coach A. Fantastico.
You all right?
Right. I'm
okay.
All right.
Okay.
Are you all right?
I hope you're going to sleep this one off. Don't drive again.
Oh, F Big Ben.
What?
F Big Ben.
F Big Ben.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm the queen. Oh, I have blue blood. I'm better than you.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, you and me, drunkie.
Looking ahead toward next week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are apparently trying something new. We're trying to inject some comedy into the show next week, Kevin. Have you heard about this? You know what we're doing?
I'm not, no.
Got your Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Got your comedian Nick Swardson on the show next week.
All right.
Jay Moore is going to be here.
All right.
Greg Proops is on the show.
All right.
J.B. Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Love.
Yeah.
And the always hilarious Scott Cranford from Heroic Ambition.
Fantastic.
Who, as you know, it created the greatest superheroes of all time. All that comedy next week right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus on Tuesday, highlights of our Bush Bash, which we're going to be doing this afternoon at a super secret location to kick off Labor Day weekend around a pool with the band Bush being interviewed and performing. We'll have highlights of that for you on Tuesday's show.
Let's talk about Twitter for just a second, if we might. You know, people try to tweet interesting things. It's not always the case. It doesn't always work. Sometimes they're not as interesting to people as you would hope.
Often.
Well, the beautiful thing about Twitter is it's free.
Right.
And it's also voluntary. So if you find out that you're following somebody who is tweeting things not so interesting to you, you just click unfollow and you're out of there.
Right. Or you just block them.
Or you block them.
You block them.
That's right.
Block them.
That's Ralph's way.
Block them.
This is hilarious to me that I, Bean, who am on Twitter as Clyde Tumba, that's my name on Twitter, I am blocked by two people that I know of in the world. Two. One is our own Ralph Garman, who, if I recall, Ralph, you blocked me before your first tweet, right?
That was the first thing you did when you set it up. Twitter, yes.
It was the first act.
And the other one is Dane Cook. Those are the two. I got Ralph and I got Dane Cook who have blocked me, and that's it.
All right, I'll get on it. Now, but we have somebody monitor you. We can't do it. Let's be honest. But we have somebody monitor you. And we do have, thanks for that tweet, Bean now. Is everybody,
oh, no.
Everybody ready for this break?
Yes,
this feature?
Indeed.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! Come on.
I need to one more time.
Now, did I type it that way or is that just on you?
I need to find someone to drive me around so I can get a tan on my right arm, too.
Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
Well,
thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
Come on, Bean.
You get out of the shower and you go, how am I a black man on this side of my body and Norwegian on this side of my body? There's got to be some parity. And I was thinking, how great would it be if I could spend a couple of days getting some sun on the right arm?
Yeah,
that's
Bean's
all.
Known for his deep, rich tan.
That's true.
Yeah.
On half of his body.
Right.
But then, Bean, didn't you then think through the joke and go, the joke isn't as funny as the concept?
I don't really give it that much thought before I hit send. No.
All right. You should.
So glad Costco has their Christmas decorations out. That was totally on my to-do list this week. Ho, ho, ho.
Actually, look again, Ralph. It's ho, ho, no. See, I was against the Christmas decorations being up so early.
That was worse. Why would you correct him to make it worse?
That's what I was mocking. It was freaking August at the time. They had their Christmas decorations up. Stop it.
Thanks for that tweet. Bean! 1,000 Ways to Die Marathon on Spike TV right now is turning Monday into Fun Day.
Come on. You can't. Bean has the applause sound effect. You can't play that for yourself.
Lisa, you're with me, right?
That was awful.
Oh,
it was horrible.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! I love that show so much. That's all.
Last tweet before takeoff. Dr. Oz is on my flight. Overheard that he and 37 staffers are on their way to Alaska. Starting a cult?
What? Really? I mean, what? Bean?
Dr. Oz,
yes.
You know, from that show.
Right.
37 staffers heading to Alaska. I was just thinking, what could they be doing up there? I can't imagine they're doing a show from Alaska. So maybe he's going up there to start a cult. I didn't know. It's just a guess. Is this thing on? Hello?
I wish it wasn't.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
You guys, Taylor Swift is so awesome live. She's already done Mine and Mean, and I'm hoping for Moan next. Giggity!
Did you tweet those words?
Well, yeah, because
die.
She has a big hit song called Mine, and then another big hit
you
song
need
called
to
Mean.
Die.
And I was thinking, how awesome would it be if she came out with a song called Moan?
You need to take it a step. You need to die. Don't just stop twittering.
I see.
Who else is with me?
How does
Thanks
Twitter
for that tweet?
How do they not just throw them off when they read that?
How dare you?
I don't think there's anyone monitoring.
Since I've been watching Whisker Wars, I feel the bad boy of bearding, Jack Passion, is over my shoulder, judging me every time I shave now.
Come on, Bean.
Because
you're
he
not
has
crying.
He has a rich, full beard, and but, the vision was that he would be mocking
Bean,
anyone.
We understand. It's not that it's too. It's going over our heads. We get it. We're just saying maybe don't send everything you think.
Do you not care about the people who read the stuff that you write?
But here's my whole thing. I feel like they are following me because they enjoy that sense of humor. If they didn't, I think they would follow
me so much.
That
was a sense of humor?
That was, yes, I think so.
Jack Passion is over your shoulder.
Next time, try writing a joke if you want to express a sense of humor.
Thanks for that tweet.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. You did crazy things to get out of something. That's what we're going to be talking about coming up after the hour, top of the hour, talking about situation ramming his head into a cement wall so that he didn't get into a fight with Ronnie. I mean, that's on one hand, that's quick thinking. On another hand, probably a pretty stupid thing to do, right?
Well, really, it acted like he was crazy,
right?
In order to intimidate the other guy,
which doesn't make any sense because the other guy knows
him well.
Yeah, knows him.
It's like you meet a guy in a bar and you have no idea what you're dealing with.
Right, he knows the situation, whether he's crazy or not.
That was a poor plan.
So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be looking for your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you, faked a seizure to get out of taking a test. I mean, whatever it is, you came up with something crazy in order to get out of something. That's what we're going to be talking about coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us. Time for the show biz beat. Hey, Ralph.
I started foaming at my mouth at my wedding. I took an Alka-Seltzer and I hit it in my cheek. I'm talking. My wife didn't buy it.
She said, "Take the Alka-Seltzer out.
Stop. Spit that out. And give me the damn ring." She said. So doesn't always work. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I know we're finished with a thanks for that tweet, Bean segment.
Yes.
But I didn't want to let the segment go without this one. We didn't get to one. We ran out of time.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to take a little moment out. This is also a recent Bean tweet.
Okay. Saturday night tip: dog fighting is bad. Prostitution, however, is good. But don't get your bitches mixed up and get it all backwards.
What are you saying, Ralph? What's the point here?
You've given up.
No, he hasn't given up. If he gave up, that'd be better for everybody.
No, I don't mean giving up by quit. I mean,
he's trying too hard.
He's a funny guy who's given up on funny.
Don't get your bitches mixed up.
Come on, Bean.
It's clear to all of you that I am awesome. That's that
tweet.
No, it's not clear. I want to give away some passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of a movie called Creature.
Yay!
What's it about?
It's about some young people who go into the bayou of Louisiana, into the swamplands, and they're hanging out there and they're partying and having a good time, and guess what happens?
I don't know.
Creature shows up.
Creature. Oh, there you go.
And then I'm assuming people get eaten. All I know is there's plenty of nudity, girl-on-girl action, and gore in this movie.
All right.
What more do you need,
That's
really?
The way to sell it.
If you'd like to see it before anybody else, it happens next Thursday. The movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday, next Friday, but you'll be able to see it ahead of time. So call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers who get through win a pair of passes. It's just that simple. Hugh Jackman is set to do a film. Another film about his X-Men character Wolverine. 20th Century Fox is ramping up production to hire a writer to rework the script because they're ready to go. They've got a window of opportunity to get Hugh Jackman and his schedule on the film, and so they're going to start shooting in Japan. That's the word, which would probably be good for them. They could use the boost to the economy over there. So apparently he will be suffering from amnesia and will have to go out searching for answers about his life and love and stuff like that.
Jason Bourne would like that story back,
yes,
please.
Yes, he would. But Jason Bourne doesn't have adamantium claws that come out of his hand, bitch.
That's true.
Can't do that.
That's true.
Here's a bad idea for a movie.
What?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Taylor Lautner as David and Goliath.
Oh. That's the story from the Bible.
Yeah, the giant and the giant slayer, the kid with the slingshot.
The kid's me because he used a rock.
That's right. Throws a rock at Goliath and hits him in the head and knocks him over.
It's a pretty short story.
Maybe not. They should flesh that out a little bit for a feature film. But they are desperately trying to turn Taylor Lautner into an action star, and I guess this is going to be part of that
transformation.
Now, Ruff, is Taylor Lautner's movie, that action film they've been advertising, that opens up today, right? This is kind of his first foray into carrying a movie based on his own name?
I don't believe so. I think Abduction is next week.
Next week, okay. I've been hearing, seeing a lot about it.
Yeah, so have I.
I've been smelling a lot about it, too.
And oh, he's the talking dog in the Twilight movies, right, Lisa?
He's the magical dog.
Yes. It's not a dog.
He's a dog.
Lindsay Lohan!
Guilty.
Has a new tattoo. She was at Shamrock Tattoos here in Los Angeles, and she added another piece of body art to her collection. I guess this is supposed to reflect how she feels. It's a line from a Billy Joel song from 1989 called I Go to Extremes. Here's the original. Here's the Billy Joel version.
Clear as a crystal, sharp as a knife. I feel like I'm in the prime of my life.
Yeah, that's the lyric.
That's it.
Clear as a crystal, sharp as a knife. I feel like I'm in the prime of my life. It's on the side of her rib cage. So now if anyone wonders how she's feeling, she can just flip up her shirt and make you read her ribs.
All right.
You know, there's another part of body that probably gets more attention from the people she hangs out with. She probably should have tattooed it there.
Yeah, that's
true. To make sure it gets red. You want to put it in a high traffic area.
That's true.
That's what I'm thinking. So maybe somewhere vulvic would have been better.
I can't get over the fact that she's how old, Ralph? Like 25 or something like that?
Yeah.
And she's getting a Billy Joel tattoo.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to me.
1989, not a fresh piece of music she's basing that tattoo on. But.
And not a, I mean, no offense to people who like Billy Joel, but I don't
like
know.
Billy Joel. I do like Billy Joel. I find his lyrics actually very, I think he's a good lyricist. He's got a lot of good stuff. But I would not get that tattooed on my body.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
No how, no way. Snooki, she's in the prime of her life.
Yeah.
And she is all about the work. She has an excellent work ethic, I found.
What work?
Well, she was in Vegas this past weekend hosting a pool party at Wet Republic at the MGM Grand.
Okay.
But then she also did the LAX nightclub at night. So she had two jobs in that one day. She worked two jobs.
All right, how much?
How much would you guess she got paid?
It does not say here in this statement.
No. How much would you guess?
I'm guessing... I heard she gets $250,000 in appearance.
An appearance, so $500,000.
So she probably made half a mil.
Wow, no!
I was going to say she made like 20 grand each.
Oh,
you're
no,
saying she made like 200 grand each.
Better
oh my
that.
God, but she's Snooki.
Yeah.
Wow! They usually wouldn't let somebody as fat as her into one of the Vegas pools.
Well, she's working hard.
Wow.
I'm just saying, you should work so hard. You should do two jobs instead of one. She'd be more like Snooki.
But she has an act that she brings out on stage, right, where she tells jokes and sings. And
I think it involves ping pong
dances.
Balls. I'm not sure. That's what her act involves. So. Congratulations to Melanie B. of the Spice Girls. Melanie Brown was rushed to the hospital yesterday morning to give birth to her third child. No word yet on whether it's a boy or girl, but apparently everything's going well. So congratulations.
You know, babies come out of the butt, right?
No, that's not the case at all. It's in that region, but it's a different orifice.
Ah.
And for the first time ever, the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon this year, which is every year on Labor Day, usually runs for 21 and a half hours with Jerry Lewis as host. This year, it's going to be 6 hours. It's hardly a telethon, really, but 6 hours.
But, right, it's just a show.
It's just a long show.
This has gotten to the point where no one's watching, right? I mean,
well, every year they make more money than they did the year before.
Huh. But I think that... Isn't the lion's share of that money corporate contributions?
First of all, lions don't have money to even donate, so I can't imagine why you're saying that.
I don't think there's a ton of people at home calling in anymore.
That may or may not be true.
And I think they've shot themselves in the foot because they used to have actual quality entertainment, and it just has gotten below D-level entertainment.
Oh, really? Well, how about this year's lineup of amazing musical acts for the show?
Let's hear it.
Reggie Bush will be there.
He's a star.
Darius Rucker.
Okay.
Jordan Sparks.
Okay.
Kurt Warner. Billy Ray Cyrus. Come on, John Cicada. Come on with the lineup.
Is that it? I mean, you started with the A-pluses and worked your way down?
Actually, no, they do have some pretty big names this year. Celine Dion, Lady Antebellum, Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, wow, that's a huge improvement over you.
Jordan Sparks, Penn and Teller.
Wow. Yeah. Who's going to host this year?
This year, Nancy O'Dell.
Okay. She has been the co-host for the last year.
Yeah. But they say Jerry may make an appearance, so we can only hope, because he is a fine gentleman who is very forgiving. That's all we need to know.
It's like my dad said to me once.
Yeah.
He said, if you love a lot, mm-hmm. and I indeed get love a lot.
Right.
And I've loved a lot.
So you love
this. You're going to get love a lot.
Okay.
There's
loving. I got it.
See,
I don't
that's
understand.
The only reason I would watch that show every year is because I loved watching him be him, which is magical.
Because he's losing it.
Because he's such an old-school showbiz blowhard who gets out there in his tuxedo and says ridiculously pompous statements like that.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. But Nancy O'Dell is just going to read cue cards and bring out John Cicada.
Yeah, that's
my non-starter. That's my fear right there. Come see me and Kevin Smith tomorrow night at the Lovitz on Universal City Walk, Hollywood Babylon, the very entertaining show we do where he is stoned and I am drunk.
That's all you really need to
every
know.
Friday night. Just write it down.
Saturday night at the Lovitz.
Every Saturday night.
BabbleOnRalph.com for more details. Come see us. We'd love to have you. Celebrity birthdays today. Mark Harmon is 60 years old today. Keanu Reeves turns 47. Boxing heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis. It's not the champ right now, but he was at one time.
Yes.
Now he's a commentator for a lot of fights on HBO. He's good at it. 46 years old. Salma Hayek is 45. That's a strong 45
yes,
right there.
Yes, I agree.
Cynthia Watro celebrates her 43rd birthday. Cat Williams turns 38. And bassist Sam Rivers of Limp Bizkit is 34 years old today. Sam, it gets better. It gets better.
Does he still make the list?
Don't feel down, Sam. It gets better. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, we're going to talk to a man named Eric Hirschberg, whose name you don't know, neither did I, until it was explained to me that he is the CEO of the Activision company. They're the guys behind Call of Duty. And don't you know that Modern Warfare 3 is getting ready to come out? And it's going to be a worldwide sensation. So we'll get some inside details on what's involved in that, plus the movie beat coming up because it's Friday, and we've got an update on those crazy robots that we told you about yesterday with the artificial intelligence that can talk to each other. We got more on that story later today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, let's talk about Jersey Shore and the situation. This was one of the most bizarre episodes of TV I've ever seen in my life, where he runs into the wall head first to get away from
Ronnie
getting beaten out by Ronnie. Ronnie's all angry because he told his girlfriend that Ronnie was out, you know, he had five other girls lined up or whatever, so he gets all mad at Situation. And Situation, to avoid the fight, turns and runs into a wall head first. The wall, of course, was cement.
Yep.
And
yes.
He went to the hospital. But he was doing that, I guess, so that Ronnie would think he's crazy and then wouldn't
yes.
beat
wouldn't
him up or
something.
Later in the episode, he explains that he had had success with that approach before. He said, I was in a bar once, and a guy wanted to fight me who was way bigger than Ronnie, and that's what I did, is I put my head through, and it turned out to be a plaster wall that time, and the guy backed off. The guy was like, this dude's crazy enough to put his own head through a wall. I don't want to mess with this guy. So that was what the Situation was thinking. He, of course, didn't know that the wall was going to be made of concrete and it was going to knock him out practically and send him right to the hospital. And that was a bad surprise for him. But, I mean, look, I wouldn't do it. And I would think that my chances would be – I certainly wouldn't do it if I knew it was concrete, because you know, you got to imagine that the damage that could be done from running your head into the concrete wall is probably worse than whatever Ronnie's going to do to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
But he didn't know. He was panicked, and he was weighing it.
Yeah, but if I'm I'm just trying to put myself in that situation. That thought never comes into my head. Like,
right.
I don't have to go, no, I'm not going to put my head through the wall because it might – I don't have to have that conversation because it never even comes into my mind. But this is a little bit of the audio of Ronnie, who's scared Situation out of his mind.
You want to do it? You want to throw my bed?
Yeah.
You want to throw my bed? No. You want to do it?
Stop.
What are you doing, bro?
Stop.
Get out of here, bro. Get out of here.
So he runs into the wall head first.
Mike bashes his head into the wall. And I could tell Mike is completely disoriented. He's opening his eyes to me, but he's giving me a blank look.
That's the best thing that has ever happened on that show. I mean, it's hard to even get your head around the concept of, I thought I was going to get beaten up, so I ran headfirst into a wall.
We wanted to talk about people who have done crazy things to get out of something. Ralph was joking a few minutes ago about swallowing, you know, putting Alka-Seltzer in his mouth to pretend like he was foaming at the mouth to
right.
get out of getting married. But, I mean, that is the kind of thing that we're looking for. Like a last-ditch effort. I know this is insane, but I have to do something that's going to prevent me from taking a test or getting fired or you know, or getting married or whatever it is you're trying to get, or getting in a fight, whatever it is you're trying to get out of. I mean, you know, one example from also from TV, but this was you know, this was not a reality show, this was scripted, is on 30 Rock last season. Tina Fey's character, Liz Lemon, gets called into jury duty, and she desperately doesn't want to serve on a jury, just like most Americans. So she shows up dressed like Princess Leia. She's got the outfit on with the buns on her head, and she keeps talking all about Star Wars stuff, because I'm going to act crazy so that they don't make me get on this jury. That was what her thinking was. That's the kind of thing that we're looking for right now.
I have a friend, I can't say his name, let's just call him Beer Mug, who, who was trying to get out of going to work because he was drunk. And so he slashed all four tires on his work vehicle.
Oh, my God. And so that he could say, not my fault, yes, somebody else, you know, somebody else. Oh, wow.
I'm drunk. I can't go into works, but I can't say that or I'll be fired.
Right.
So this happened to me. Wow, those bad guys that did this.
Oh, my God.
Why would they do this? And then he called in sick. And Beer Mug still works here to this day. How strange is that?
I don't believe it was actually Beer Mug that did that. But every year you hear stories about people who either pull a fire alarm or call in a bomb threat to a school because they haven't studied for a test. That's a perennial. That always happens. But I know our audience, and I know the desperate situations that they get into. I know how often their backs are against the wall and they are unprepared for something. And I bet we've got some stories out there at 1-800-520-1067 that people can share with us.
It's hard to beat running headfirst into a cement wall.
Well, it is.
I believe in our listeners.
You think
they
could top
it? I think they could do it. Yeah, I really do.
Oh, well, they're F-ups. There's no question about that.
Whatever it is, you're trying to get out of a fight or a test or a relationship or whatever, you lie to somebody and you do something ridiculous to back it up. That's what we want. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
Hey, party people, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. We were just recapping one more time situation, running his head into a concrete wall while Jersey Shore was filming in Italy. He did it to appear crazy enough that Ronnie wouldn't beat the crap out of him. So he was going to lose either way. He just figured there's going to be pain either way. I might as well go for this and maybe I'll get out of something worse from Ronnie.
And not to mention that MTV did sell it as Ronnie beat up the situation
for
a year ahead of time.
Yeah, but it's all we've been hearing about since I was a little kid is wait till you see this fight. And then, of course, there was no fight at all. It was all self-inflicted. So we're talking to you about crazy things you did to get out of something. And it looks like you were dead on, Lisa. Our listeners are coming through at 1-800-520-1067. Who's first?
All right, let's start with Diego. Hi, Diego.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
What were you trying to get out of first?
I got out of a fight at a bar. I was hitting on a girl that I did not know had a boyfriend, and she didn't give me any signs or anything that she had a boyfriend or anything, and then next thing you know, he showed up, and he's one of those, like, muscle builder, I go to the gym every 10 minutes type of guy. I mean, he's huge.
He could crush you in a second, okay?
Pretty much, yeah. So we step outside because I'm like, okay, I can't look like a punk, anything like that, but then we get outside, I'm like, oh, man, he's gonna beat the crap out of me. So I just decided, like, okay, screw it. I just started stripping down, and I got naked.
You took off all your clothes?
I took off all my clothes. Like, come on, mother effer, let's go, man. I'm gonna beat you up. Let's go, dude. Let's go.
Was he confused?
And he's just looking at me like, wow, this guy is absolutely insane.
That's brilliant. Did it work?
It worked.
Sweet.
And he walked away and was like, okay, dude, whatever, man. You're sick. You're gay.
He was afraid.
And the funniest part is I'm breathing a sigh of relief. The cops showed up.
Oh, sweet. Did you get a ticket?
No, actually, arrested? I explained to the cop what happened, and he was like, okay, dude, put your clothes on and go home.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. So, look, nobody wants to get into a fight with a naked dude. Let's face it.
That's a 10 right there on the scale. Yeah. That works.
No, that's brilliant. Seriously, outstanding work. Nice job. Thank you very much for the call.
The only way that could have been better is if he did it in the bar. That would have been better. All right, let's go to Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Oh, hey, guys. Good morning. It's me.
Good morning.
What were you trying to get out of?
I was actually trying to get out of a fight at the bar, too. Girl was kind of challenging me. She was real drunk, so.
So you're trying to get out of it? Okay.
Oh, please tell me this ends with you getting naked, Michelle.
Well, I did. I took off my shirt and had no bra on and just started going up to her and bumping her and go, let's go. Come on. Let's
go. Yeah. This is a fantastic trend.
What a great trend.
What the hell made you think to do that, though?
Well, I've seen guys do it when they get in fights. They take off their wife beater or whatever. So I thought, hey, take off my shirt. You know,
That's different.
And by the way, thank you for the call. We very much appreciate always hearing from our listeners in Riverside. It's a treat for us.
Come on.
I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Let's go to Matt, who has quite a unique story. Hi, Matt.
What's up, you guys?
What were you trying to get out of first?
I was trying to get out of my psychology final, which I hadn't studied for at all because I was studying for my five other finals.
All right. This is college or high school?
This is high school.
High school. Okay.
I mean, everybody else was kind of, you know, spur of the moment. Mine is a little more premeditated. I actually went number one in front of the entire class. I just sat down, wet myself, and then stood up, and the teacher saw the big wet spot around my pants, and he just let me go for the day.
So
he just let me go.
Okay. Okay, so you planned this ahead of time and went to the class where they were just about to take the final?
Yes.
And then did that. And he let you go and get out of the test?
He did, and he let me remake the test, yeah.
Did he, I mean, was there any kind of a debriefing? Did he come to you and say, hey, what's going on? Are you sick? Are you having a problem? Or, I mean, or did he just look at the wet spot and say, get the hell out of my class?
No, he just looked and told me to come up to his desk, and I came up and he was like, you do realize that you wet yourself, right? And I said, yeah, I'm aware of that, but we have a final, you know, completely understandable. And he said, you take this one out, you just go home and you...
Come on with that, right?
Here's what's awesome, none of them have failed yet.
That's right.
Thank you,
Matt. Act crazy, apparently, is the answer from today's Kevin and Bean Show. Take that away for this.
Who knew the situation was right? All right, let's go to Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How are you doing?
Hi.
You were going to avoid a fight as well, right?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of redundant now. But at a bar, kind of like the first caller, was in on a girl. Boyfriend was there, apparently, with two of his friends. So it was a 3-on-1. I actually was with friends, but they had to take our drunk friend home.
Good. I don't think any of this is relevant to the story, but go ahead. What'd you do to get out of the fight?
Where did your friend live that they had to take her home to?
I don't think we need any more details from this guy.
Oh, okay.
Right. Did you also strip naked, or is it something different?
No nakedness in the story. But basically, they approached me. You know, everything's ready to go, so I grabbed.
How many steps
bottle.
From where they were until they got to where you are?
Mark, what did you do to get out of the fight?
Grabbed a beer bottle and smashed it over my head.
That's all we needed.
All right.
All right, here's a great lesson for everybody listening. Hey, Kevin Mead, I had to get out of a fight too, so I grabbed a beer bottle and smashed it over my head. Do you see how simple and painless that was?
Now, Mark, right? Did it work? Did you get out of the fight?
Yes, they backed off. I got a free shot and 4 stitches in my head.
Sweet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, because, you know, you see it happen on TV. Those are not real bottles. You hit yourself in the head with a real bottle. You got trouble.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Wilbur. Hopefully he was listening on how to tell a story. Hi, Wilbur.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May, how y'all doing?
Good.
What were you trying to get out of?
I just wanted to get out of school. And
just a regular day?
Just a regular day,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so me and my friends, you know, we smoke cigarettes or chew tobacco. And when you chew the tobacco, and then you have the leftover spit.
Yeah.
If you swallow it, it makes you nauseous.
Ugh.
And so I would swallow it, make myself nauseous, and then I'd make sure that my mom heard me throw up my breakfast.
Right.
And then I would leave it in the toilet just so she can see it and verify.
Oh, wow. That's a commitment right there.
It only lasts for about an hour or so, and then, you know, I got the whole rest of the day to watch cartoons.
You're fine, and you can hang out.
Can you just pretend to throw up?
Well, my mom worked in a hospital, so she knew, like, symptoms and all that stuff.
You got to go the extra step if she works in a hospital.
Dear God.
See, this is a step beyond Ferris Bueller taking the thermometer and holding it up to the light bulb so it looked like you had a fever. Now you're making yourself vomit.
Right, well done. One more. Let's go to Jay. Put Jay on hold. Thank you. All right, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hi.
You were trying to get out of what?
A Mexican funeral.
A Mexican funeral.
Yes, I don't know if there has been one of those. It's the longest experience of your life. It lasts like 5 days, and it just goes on and on and on and on.
Did you not know this person or not care?
No, it's my ex-girlfriend, but to be honest with you, I was at the brink of just letting her go, but you know, it's nice, whatever. I took a laxative in the morning, and I just kind of waited for her to kick in.
And then?
You know, a couple hours later, what do you think it happened?
Same as the other guy in your pants?
Sweet.
And then? Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, I had to excuse myself, go home, take a shower, and I thought it was over. But, you know, like I said, Mexican funerals are never over. I had to come by the next day, you know, to do the whole viewing and everything, and it was terrible.
So 5 days in a row you had to poop your pants?
Yeah, and it still didn't work, man. I still couldn't get out of it.
This afternoon, super secret location, Kevin Bean, and I don't know, about 50 Kevin Bean listeners are going to be hanging out at a pool party, and the band Bush is going to be being interviewed and performing. That's going to be a great way to kind of get into a long holiday weekend, and we'll have highlights of that for you on Tuesday's Kevin Bean Show. So if you like Bush, if you're excited as we are about the new record getting ready to come out, please join us Tuesday on an all-new Kevin Bean Show.
It is time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. You can leave a message 24 hours a day on any topic. We bring up a lot of topics on the show. One that we brought up because of our new intern, Wendy, spelled W-H-E-N-D-I-I.
Wendy.
So we wanted real names that are spelled all effed up.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was just calling to let you know that I, too, have a really weird spelling. My name is Misty, but instead of M-I-S-T-Y, we have M-H-Y-S-T-I-E.
M-H-Y-S-T-I-E for reals?
Yeah.
Wow.
Misty's already a stripper name.
It is.
Right? Without the spelling.
It is. It's so insane. I mean, I knew there were crazy names out there. I knew that parents did this. But until we did this topic, I couldn't believe how many emails and calls and texts and everything we got from people. Here's one from a listener named Jody in Huntington Beach. She has a friend named Tyra, spelled T-A-H-I-R-A-H. That's Tyra, kids.
It's no, not Tyra.
It isn't.
What's happening? What's happening here?
Then we have...
My name is Michael Ann, and it's spelled M-Y-K-A-L-A-N-N-E.
Oh, that man.
Right. And Lisa asked that several of the people that we spoke with, hey, why not change the name? And it doesn't sound like it occurred to any of them to try that.
But this might be a good message if you're getting to the age where you're going to have kids. Don't do this to them.
Right. Bingo.
It doesn't make them more interesting.
No.
I mean, it makes them oddballs because they have to explain why there's a Y and a silent H and all that crap.
Right. And don't put accents or apostrophes in their name. I mean, just make it simple because the time that they're going to spend in their life having to re-explain and respell their name for everyone they encounter is going to end up to about a month of their life.
Right.
And it doesn't, give them a month back.
And everybody's not going to go, hey, that's great. You must be really interesting.
Right.
Doesn't happen that way. DJ Omar Khan?
Yes.
Perhaps some love?
DJ Omar Khan is the best friend I ever had. The best friend I ever had.
Woo! DJ Omar Khan.
I don't know what that guy was calling about.
Mm-mm.
This is coming up this weekend.
Hey, Kevin. Going out to Burning Man next weekend. Wanted to see if you have any suggestions on what to do or not to do. So let me know what's the plan. Thanks. Bye.
Kevin, why don't you go to Burning Man anymore?
Burning Man because is the best.
You loved Burning Man, and have you ever gone back since you had that mysterious altercation with a cow in the desert?
I have not.
Or at least that was your story.
Here's what you need to know is it's called free range out there in the middle. It's about 100 miles from Reno. It's worth going to because everybody out there is crazy.
And naked.
You could come up over the hill, and there might be a cow in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, you might have to swerve, and then you end up flipping your car. That could happen. I'm just saying that could happen, so be careful.
But did that turn you off to the Burning Man experience forever just because of that accident?
No, I went twice and loved it both times.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a long ways to go. I checked it off.
Yeah.
Checked it off your list. Took it out of your bucket list. And by the way, Lisa, you're with me that we still have never gotten the full story, right?
Oh,
because
that's the problem.
You were hallucinating, or there was a hooker, or you killed a guy. There's something in this story that you have left out.
How dare you?
Did you see the ad for the South LA Festival? It's called the Black Caucus.
Yeah. All right, Anderson. Come on.
All right.
Okay, it's a real political term. It just needs. Come on.
Listen,
it's politically active African Americans, Anderson. There's nothing goofy about it. He's not going to be able to get over this.
Turn off his mic. Okay. All right, turn off his mic. I don't think.
Oh, I love Lisa May. Her heart is so big, and it just totally warmed my heart about how she was trying to, trap Kitty to get it fixed.
Hey, Lisa May.
She was.
See? Fixing trapped pussies. Because I have one. Okay.
Wow. Lisa, well, congratulations.
She gave it a shot, right?
She gave it a real shot.
She did.
Tried very hard with the delivery.
Right, right.
She was not subtle, but I hope she was effective.
A for effort.
Nothing else. Just play My Vagina's Itchy. That's all.
Oh, request for the best new song ever.
My vagina's so itchy, so, so itchy, so freaking itchy. My vagina's so itchy.
This came to us from a listener. A listener sent this in to the Kevin Amina Afro line. You probably noticed he's a guy, so I'm curious as to why his vagina is so itchy. And is it done? I mean, do you think all the lyrics necessary are in the song? Or
yeah.
What you, oh, you do. Okay.
So, so itchy. So freaking itchy. My vagina's so itchy.
First time I heard it, I got to this point in the song, and I went, well, I guess I've heard that song. I guess that's all there is. But no, there's more.
So freaking itchy. My vagina's so itchy. My vagina's so itchy. So, so itchy. So freaking itchy.
That's not brown rice. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 7:53.
Oh, it's awesome.
Party people.
In case you didn't hear that, when the song was fading, Ralph threw his trash into the trash can in the corner and yelled, "Oh, I rule!"
So wish. it's got to be 4 feet, right, to throw?
Nine feet?
I'd say nine.
Nine, 10 feet?
I'd go 10 feet.
Suck it!
Yeah.
Well, when they start up, when they give up on the current NBA and they start up a new league, Ralph, you should be first in line to be one of the players on the new team.
Trash can league. That's where I play.
All right, we'll talk all things Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 right after the top of the hour. Also, the movie beat next hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on for Friday?
Chris Humphries had the best plane ride ever last Sunday. According to the New York Post, he was seated right next to a gentleman named Ray J.
No.
No, you're kidding. Who these two gentlemen are.
No
Chris
way.
Humphries is the new husband of Kim Kardashian. Ray J was the gentleman who was her co-star in the video project that made her the star that she is today.
How is that possible that happened?
Tape. Yeah.
He was in the sex tape.
They both, I'm sure, were in first class, and they bought tickets, and they just so happened were on the same flight, and they were sitting next to each other.
Wow.
According to the New York Post, they endured a very awkward silence. And then Ray J offered his congratulations to Chris on the marriage. Now, according to sources, Chris initially did not know who Ray J was.
Liar.
And then it dawned on him.
No. Sweet.
Representatives for both parties are refusing to comment on the meeting, but must have been awkward.
Ray J should have said she does good work.
Yeah.
I know that firsthand.
You're gonna have a happy life because I know what happens with her and the stuff down there.
You're married to Kim Kardashian? Really?
Had her on tape.
Oh, millions.
She said, "I'm Ray J."
By the way, has Ray J, since the sex tape, ever done anything else?
Yes, that is, come on, for the love of Ray J.
Oh, he had a reality show?
Come
right.
on!
Oh, please.
But didn't he used to, what, didn't he used
awesome.
To be a
that
singer, too?
Awesome.
What did he do on that show? What, it followed him doing what? Is he still a singer?
It was like, what was the guy who wears the big clock?
Flavor
Love. It was just like that. It was
so a bunch of women, I see.
Bunch Bide of trashy opinion. Broads competing for his affections. It was magical.
And he's Brandy's brother, right?
Yeah. Moesha. Okay.
Right.
You know her.
She's
Moesha.
Yeah, sure. What a great flight that would have been.
Wouldn't you have loved to have
heard what each of them were thinking?
I would have ordered a couple of drinks, and I just would have sat there with my elbow on my extended tray table just listening to the conversation.
And if they wouldn't have started up, you would have introduced them.
Best in-flight entertainment ever.
Hey, Chris, what did you think about Kim Kardashian, your wife's sex video with this dude?
Ray. Chris, Ray. You guys have a lot in common. Get to know each other. I'll be back here. I'm in the seat behind you. Let me know if you need anything. Oh, stewardess, another round for me and my friends.
Chris is like, what? She hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, she will. They're trying to tell us that Taylor Lautner is an action star. He's got a new movie coming out called Abduction, where he plays a Jason Bourne-type action figure with guns and motorcycles and whatnot.
Nope.
Hard to picture.
But they're cementing their case with another film just announced this week. You may have heard the biblical story David versus Goliath.
Sure.
This film, called Goliath, will be based on that biblical tale.
It's a short movie?
It's not a short movie. Apparently it's a feature-length film featuring Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Goliath and Taylor Lautner as David.
Now, forgive me, but wasn't the story how, like, he was like almost a midget compared to... Isn't Taylor Lautner...
Goliath was a giant.
Buff, yeah.
In the story, and Taylor was, and David was a regular size person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
there wasn't so much that he was a midget, it was that okay. Goliath was so giant.
All right.
That some people would say he was Goliath, Kevin.
Ah.
And so that's where that name came from, that word came from.
Sweet. Never understood that.
Yeah. But there is apparently a backstory about how Goliath the giant terrorizes the village and all this stuff. There's a lot going on before the final battle, which David finally, no one else will step up. Everyone else is afraid, but David steps up and with his belief in God above gives him the power to muster up the strength to take on Goliath.
But it's still ultimately a guy throwing rocks at another guy. I mean, that's really what the centerpiece of the
story
of
my youth.
Right?
That's right. That's it. Robbie Jordan will be playing the role of Goliath, so we can check that out. Anyway, I'm not buying it, not a bit. So I just want to put that out there in case anyone from Hollywood is listening. We're not buying it. You know, we're buying less. How about Joe Jonas as a big time movie star?
What?
He's announced that he's very excited to launch his film career.
No.
And he has told reporters he is planning a film about finding himself. I hope he finds himself at the bottom of a swimming pool.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
Joe Jonas got the news from his manager last week that they found financing for the film that he's working on, and Joe says he was so happy he broke into tears. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Wow, this story just keeps getting better and better.
Oh, Joe Jonas.
You know how confused I get with the Jonas Brothers.
Yes.
He's one of the twins, or he's the Mexican kid. Which one is he?
I do not know. I cannot identify the Jonases.
Okay.
I apologize.
He's the one who used to date Kevin's fat friend Demi Lovato, though.
I have no extensive knowledge of the Jonases and or their dating rituals.
Okay. Any other questions, Bean?
Anything else you want to know about the Jonases that I can tell you right now I don't have the answers for?
Which one dated Taylor Swift?
Once again, I don't know.
Okay, but these are the guys from Camp Rock, right?
I hear that.
Congratulations to director and fanboy Kevin Smith. He just got the news yesterday. He has been greenlit for his reality show about comic books and fanboys. It's going to be on AMC, the network that brings you Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and Walking Dead. We'll now bring you Secret Stash. The reality show takes place at Kevin's New Jersey comic book store, Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. And so it's about the people who work there and the people come in to buy their comics. And I've always said there is a funny story to be told about the comic book geek world. That location specifically. I always wanted to do a sitcom about guys who sort of hang out at comic book stores. They kind of do it on Big Bang Theory. There's
right.
Many scenes that take place in their local comic book store. But there's quite a lot of humor to be had there, I think.
Humor.
So, congratulations to Kevin Smith. Speaking of Kevin, we are back here in Los Angeles doing our show Hollywood Babylon tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater up there at Universal City Walk. Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. We'd love you to stop by. You can go to babbleonralph.com for details and to buy tickets. Today's celebrity birthdays. A couple of friends of the show celebrate their birthday. TMZ's Harvey Levin celebrates his birthday today.
Yay!
Harvey, inexplicably, this must be a typo, says he is 61 years old. That's just not possible.
What? No way.
Harvey looks like he's about 43.
Are you kidding me? He's 61?
No way.
Old people can't use the internet.
He is well-preserved, if that's the case.
That's a misprint.
That's inexplicable. Also, Anell Rivers celebrates his birthday today, our buddy Anell.
He's in his late 60s.
Yeah, he's well into
60s. And he looks it, too, by the way. That's a 65-year-old who has not aged well.
Cat Williams is 38 years old today. Cynthia Watros turns 43. Salma Hayek celebrates her 45th birthday. Former boxing heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis is 46. He is a great combination of someone who has been punched a lot and has a hardcore British accent. He is entertaining to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
He's 47 years old today. We've had many requests, by the way, for the Keanu Bean interchange, the interview where Bean talked to our boy Keanu Reeves about his body of work.
I don't have
Do you want that this hour or save that for next hour?
Let's save it for next hour. Right. We'll bring people back in an hour. If you want to hear Bean interview Keanu Reeves in what was maybe one of the greatest moments of the Kevin and Bean show. Here's the thing.
It's a lot of fun.
Bean can be a dick sometimes, and usually that's to our detriment. We have to sort of work around that. But there are some times, you got a dog, it's like a vicious dog, it's on a chain, you know, and he's biting the kids and everything, and it's horrible to have as a pet. But once in a while, you want to let that dog off the chain.
Robert comes around.
And that dog does the work that no other animal in your menagerie will do. That dog is useful in those cases, and in this particular case, Bean came in very handy. Yeah. Mark Harmon turned 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up for us in a few minutes. Here's the difference between us, Kevin, and people who are successful. If I had released the Call of Duty Black Ops last year and it had sold 25 million copies,
right,
I would be paralyzed with fear, would never be able to release another game again. That would be it. I would go, well, I can't top that, clearly. I'm getting out of the business. That's not how they work out there at Activision. They got a new one coming out called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, and everyone is on the edge of their seat waiting for it. We're very excited to welcome the CEO of Activision, the company that puts it out, Mr. Eric Hirschberg, on the phone with us now. Eric, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're doing fine. I can't get over. I mean, I know that that long ago the sales of video games eclipsed, you know, blockbuster movies, but I mean, your stuff is at a whole different level, it seems like.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Black Ops, which had, I think, the biggest entertainment launch of all time, not just video games, but movies, everything, in its first week. And the record it broke was the Call of Duty game from the year before, Modern Warfare 2. So, yeah, you're tapping into the pressure.
Yeah, so do you think what Bean said? I mean, do you think, wow, that's we're getting killed by our own success here? There's no way to top it.
No, I mean, look, first of all, we're incredibly lucky that we have, you know, the greatest fan base in the world. And one of the things about this game is that, you know, it's become a phenomenon where people don't just play the game once in terms of the story mode and the campaign mode. They're playing it all year round in multiplayer. And do you guys play?
I play some. I'm not very good at it. From the very first time I set my foot in the bar in Cuba and just started taking fire, I was going down. So.
Yeah, so that's the campaign mode, which is, you know, kind of is more like a movie. It has a plot. It has, you know, the characters, and you sort of follow the story and play the action.
Right.
But there's another mode of the game called multiplayer, where you're in, you know, these live maps, battling it out live with people over Xbox Live or the PlayStation Network. You know, all at once, playing real people.
Yeah.
And that's the part that keeps people coming back, seemingly, you know, all year round.
Eric, you know what I found out is that all of those people are better than me. You start thinking, hey, I'm getting pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And then you take on people who probably have lost their jobs and everything else because they've been playing 24 hours a day since it came out. And
they wake you up.
Job for a lot of our players, that's for sure.
They destroy you.
Yeah. Now, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is coming out November 8th. So it'll be a year since Black Ops. Yeah. Is that the schedule? I mean, did you know all along, hey, we've got X amount of time to put this out? Or is this the type of thing where your developers go in and they work on it and it's ready when it's ready and you don't know ahead of time how long it's going to take to make it?
Well, we will never put out a game until it's ready, until it's great. But we do have Call of Duty sort of on this annual cycle. And the way it works is we have more than one developer working on the franchise, actually. So it takes a couple of years to develop a game. But, you know, there are developers who sort of go every other year. So last year's game, Black Ops, was developed by Treyarch. One of our developers, this year's game, was developed by Infinity Ward and Sledgehammer Games working together. So, you know, the game, we would never put it out if it wasn't ready, but we have been able to get it out on an annual cycle.
So you use a couple of companies so that the people that are coming out with Modern Warfare 3 can now go into a coma for a year.
Well,
and catch up.
Kiss November goodbye.
Okay, all right.
What's new in Modern Warfare 3, Eric?
There's all kinds of things that are new in it, and that's part of what Call of Duty XP is all about, is we're using it as a as an opportunity to sort of reveal a lot of the innovations in the game. There are a bunch of new rules in multiplayer, as I was mentioning before, that the guys are going to be unveiling on the stage today that I don't want to give away. The campaign mode is essentially World War III taking place in iconic cities all over the world, so it sort of puts the war right outside your door.
Sweet.
For the first time, you're seeing, you know, environments you recognize and you know, cities that are iconic from all over the world. And one of the things we're most excited about is this year we're launching a digital service called Call of Duty Elite. It's free to all players. There's also a premium membership you can join and get even more stuff, but the basic service is free to all players. And what that does, you know, you were saying that everyone who plays multiplayer is better than you, right?
Yes,
well,
correct.
Elite would be great for you because one of the things it does is it helps you improve your game.
Sweet.
So you go in and play, and then you can, you know, log on to your Elite page and see what weapon you should have been using, or, you know, where they were hiding in the map that you didn't see them.
Oh, everyone's going
down.
They
have videos on, you know, dissecting every map and every weapon. So it takes players of all levels and gives them the tools to get back.
You're all going down, people.
Uh-oh,
you hear me? Everybody that
challenge.
Kicked my ass last year, all of you going down.
Eric, it's 2011 now. Why isn't it called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3D like everything else seems to be?
You know, we did Black Ops was available in 3D, and I actually thought it was a great experience. You know, the first-person shooter really lends itself to 3D, you know, because you're sort of already in it, you know what I mean?
Right.
We just didn't get a tremendous amount of demand for it from our gamers, so...
It's
we
so
put
much,
the investment money elsewhere.
It's so much more of a 3D experience anyway.
Say it again?
It's so much more of a 3D experience anyway because
maybe
as you move
maybe
the character
to 3D, I don't
yeah,
know.
As you move the character through, you see the landscape go by you, and it's 3D enough already.
Yeah, well, it's like you right. are the player. You are
yeah.
the soldier. You know, you're already in it.
Tell us about, you said earlier, a few seconds ago, that the guys are going to make the announcement on stage today. Tell us about what's going on today and tomorrow.
Well, Call of Duty XP, if you haven't heard about it, is a two-day fan event just dedicated to Call of Duty fans. And, you know, when you have the biggest video game in the world, you can't do anything halfway, right?
Right.
So we went all in. We took over the Howard Hughes stages, which is the giant building down in Playa Vista where Howard Hughes built the Spruce Goose. And we basically turned it into the game come to life. So here's what we've got down there. We've built a multiplayer map for Modern Warfare 2 called Scrapyard at full size, which we're using as a paintball stadium. We built a zip line that people can ride 300 yards across the property, go 60 miles an hour.
Sweet.
We built the pit from Modern Warfare 2, which is sort of a training course, obstacle course, target practice, where you run through with a paintball gun as the targets pull up all around you. And, you know, it times you. It posts your time on Facebook. We've got Jeep, who's helped us design not only vehicles for the game, but also actually is designing and putting out a Modern Warfare 3 edition, limited edition Jeep. They've put together a Jeep experience, which is like the greatest thrill ride I've ever been on. You strap into the Jeep. A soldier drives you through this obstacle course, where there's mortar shells going off and guys firing at you, and it literally looks like you're driving through a scene from the game.
So basically, you're stepping into this game.
You are stepping into this game, and then the other thing that's going to happen is you're going to sit down with the console. Xbox 360 stepped up and provided hundreds of consoles for us, for our gamers to actually get their hands on the game a couple of months before it's out. So this is literally the world premiere of Modern Warfare 3 multiplayer. We're showing our first multiplayer trailers. We are unveiling all of the features of Call of Duty Elite on the stage. And then as soon as that presentation, that sort of keynote is over, at 11 o'clock, we're giving the keynote at 12 o'clock. People are going to literally run into the next room, sit down in front of the Xbox, and start playing Modern Warfare 3 before anyone else.
I have a clip of part of the trailer, if you don't mind my playing it on the radio. This
sure.
is just to kind of whet people's appetite a little bit. Much.
That was really vivid on the radio.
You can kind of get an idea for what it's going to be. Tell us about the entertainment tonight and tomorrow night.
So that's the other thing, is we wanted to give our fans an experience they would just never forget. So in addition to bringing the game to life and having to be the first in the world to play the game, we're treating them to a couple of pretty great concerts. Tonight is going to be closed out by the Dropkick Murphys, just one of my favorite bands.
Yep.
And Tomorrow Night is being closed out by Kanye West.
There
and
is.
This is actually the first live performance for Kanye since he put out his recent album with Jay-Z. So we're getting the first time on stage since the album dropped.
And now, how much can people still buy tickets for this?
No, we are sold out.
Oh, wow.
I want to give your company, Activision, credit. This is the voice of Eric Hirschberg on the phone, the CEO of Activision, because not only are you making this an unbelievable fan experience for Call of Duty fans, but 100% of the ticket sales are going to this Call of Duty Endowment, which is a nonprofit organization I was not familiar with that helps with veterans who are coming back from the war zone, trying to, you know, get back into civilian life and look for work and whatnot. And you are, I mean, you're really walking the walk with all the money going to them. So congratulations on that, too, Eric.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. It's a terrible statistic that our veterans, once they return from their missions overseas, have about three times the unemployment rate of the usual population.
Wow.
Which is just not right. And so the Call of Duty Endowment was, you know, since the game, we couldn't make the game without those heroes, and we couldn't make the game without, you know, the soldiers, and we wanted to give something back. So we created the endowment simply to train and help people find jobs.
Fantastic.
When they come back from overseas.
Last question for you.
Right, 100% of the sales are going to the endowment.
Do you get a lot of input for Call of Duty for the various editions from actual military guys?
We do. We work hand in hand with some pretty badass dudes.
Well, it's an unbelievable event this weekend, and of course the pre-orders are through the roof. I mean, you're way ahead of where you were for Black Ops in terms of pre-orders, and that was the biggest video game ever. So Modern Warfare 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is going to be available November 8th, 2011, which is just a little over 2 months away. Eric, so fun to have you on, man. Good luck at Activision, and thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show.
Down and join us.
Thank you, man. Bye now.
Hey, party people, it's Friday. That means it's time for Ralph Garman and the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
A veritable cornucopia of films coming to Cineplex near you today.
How did you risk everything by not seeing any movies?
Because it's, hey, you try to be a movie critic who does not go to see movies. You risk everything by doing that, but I took a stand.
Okay,
I drew a line in the sand, and I said, "This is I will not cross."
Okay, so you refused to see the movies.
That's right.
Tell us about this weekend's.
Let's start with a good old fashioned orgy, shall we?
Yes.
This is a group of 30-year-olds who've been friends since high school. They attempt to throw an end of summer orgy, and as you can imagine, it's sometimes better in theory than it is in practice. Sounds like a good idea. Then a bunch of people who've known each other for a long time just attempt to have an orgy. The complications may ensue.
Yeah.
Now, Rob, is this going to be one of those movies that's going to, the title makes you go, oh my God, like, it's going to be awesome and sexy time, and then you get there and it's just a euphemism for something, there's no actual orgy happening, or what?
No, it's they're trying to put on an actual orgy.
All right.
Okay. But they run into complications due to the nature of their relationships. It is a comedy. It is not a porno film. Sorry.
I'm Bean.
Sorry, it's just a regular film.
What's it rated?
R.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
That might be a sexy comedy.
All right.
But it stars, give you an idea, it stars Will Forte from Saturday Night Live and Tyler Labine, who you know from Reaper and from other projects.
Yeah.
So it's a high concept comedy.
All right.
Yet it also stars Leslie Bibb and Lake Bell. If you're going to make a movie about orgies, those are the kind of young ladies you want to cast in your.
Ow!
You want to cast in your film? I don't know. That's
digital noise.
We're having digital spikes here that are painful. Here is a collection of clips from the trailer of a good old-fashioned orgy.
I have a concept for the final fiesta, Labor Day weekend.
We need to think outside of the box.
All right.
We're going to have an orgy.
Ew!
This is our chance, so do it right. Take back what's been taken from us.
Isn't that from Goonies?
I am paraphrasing Goonies there, yeah.
I don't know how you could have sex in front of a room full of people. I don't even like to get naked at the spa.
Is it true? All of you were having this orgy, and you didn't think to invite us?
I'm in, and I'm fully shaved.
All right. See? You got that going for you.
All right. So, Zach and Mary make a porno-ish, right?
Yeah.
It's in that vein, okay.
It's in limited release. You can find it in a theater
near
you.
I'll find it. Don't worry.
Hard enough, Kevin will find it. He's got like a divining rod in his pants. It's going to pull him in the right direction.
Start driving.
This will make you lose your erection pretty quickly. The Debt looks like a great action film, starring one of the few older actresses that can actually pull off action films. Helen Mirren stars in this film.
Oh, great.
She is a former Mossad agent who
part of her secret mission for years was to try to bring Nazi war criminals to justice. So she was very active in the 60s looking for war criminals. That they do a lot of that story told in flashback, of course. And then you see Helen Mirren present day when apparently one of these Nazi killers surfaces again and she has to try to seek out the truth as what's going on with him. Brilliant cast. Apparently, by all accounts, an excellent, really thoughtful sort of action-adventure film. Sam Worthington co-stars along with Helen Mirren. Here's a scene starring one of my other favorite British actors, who is Tom Wilkinson. He's also in the film. He is telling Helen Mirren that she has to go back on this mission that she thought she had put behind her a long time ago.
You have to find out where he is.
What are you talking about?
David has taken himself out of the equation. I can't do it. You're the only one left.
Are you insane?
We can't...
Well, I can't do it. I can't. Look at me, I'm not capable. I haven't been an agent for 30 years. No, I can't do it.
You have to do it, Rachel. Because for 30 years, you've been taking the credit for it.
So she's got to find the Nazi.
No, he didn't.
Originally, it was called Find the Nazi, I think, and then they changed it to The Debt. So.
The Debt.
Sounds good.
Checking that out. Shark Night 3D.
What's that about?
I believe it's about when the sun goes down, the sharks come up.
Oh, they should use that in the poster.
They should. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Lake house retreat with a bunch of people, young, attractive people hanging out, vacationing. And suddenly, their fresh water pond or lake gets filled with voracious sharks that start eating them. How? Why? We don't know. We find out one by one as they're eaten. It's in 3D, and they're sharks, and they're being eaten. And you know what else? Catherine McPhee's in it. And, okay. I believe she's in a bikini.
All right.
All right.
That's why I bought my tickets on Fandango. Here's a scene where...
Fandango.
No!
What?
He didn't.
I'm saying it. I'm saying it because you're excited
Kyle.
About it.
Oh, tough room today.
Will
Man.
The jokes ever start?
Fine.
Catherine McPhee plays Beth in this film, and she becomes shark bait. As the great Robert Shaw once said, cage goes in the water, you go in the water, shark's in the water. Here's Catherine McPhee from Shark Night 3D.
Your normal diet is nothing more than skin, blubber, and flesh.
Don't eat the Catherine McPhee, please.
Yeah, why do the sharks have to hit the hot chicks?
Because she's tasty. Yeah, that's why. And lastly, Apollo 18. Sure, you thought there were just the Apollo 17 was the last mission to the moon, right? Wrong.
That's what we've been told, Ralph.
Apollo 18
Our
was the secret.
Our government would not lie to us.
The secret mission that they never told us about. Why? Because bad things happened to our American astronauts when they were sent up there. There's a reason the U.S. has never returned to the moon, people. Because something's up there that's killing astronauts. This seems to be shot a la Paranormal Activity, sort of just the footage from the cameras that were in the spacecraft back in the early 70s when Apollo 18 went up on the moon. By the way, no real Apollo 18. This is totally a fictional film. Here's a scene, some clips from the trailer, the very scary Apollo 18.
We found a Soviet helmet and are now following what appear to be tracks made by a possible Soviet cosmonaut.
What the hell was that?
Something else out here.
Something moved. Inside my suit.
I can't get it out. It's in my helmet.
What the hell are you doing?
Nature kills folks.
Houston, this is Liberty.
Do you read me?
God!
I can't see you.
God!
God, there's something in his suit.
Oh, that's so creepy.
I hate something in the suit.
It turned out it was just a fart. Not that scary.
Don't give it away.
No, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. I should have told you.
Come on now.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I, Bean, am already at the super secret location where we are all going to be this afternoon for our Bush Bash. The band Bush is back with a brand new album. It's getting ready to come out. They're going to be performing live, answering our questions, and we're going to be taping the whole thing around a pool party to get us into the Labor Day weekend, and then we're going to be playing highlights of that for you back on Tuesday's Kevin and Bean Show. Kind of reminds me, Kevin, we were doing some promotional...
Unfortunately, we don't have time for this.
we're running pretty late.
I'm looking at the clock, and it looks like we're running pretty late.
I think the only reason I showed up this morning was this break.
I think we may have some time for this. Ralph, you've many times you've been in the room when we've had to record audio to air at other parts of the day on the radio station to promote stuff that's coming up on the show, right?
Yes.
And you know how entertaining it is to see any of us, but especially Kevin, kind of get through a complicated piece of copy.
I look forward to it. I'm sorry I missed out on this recording session.
Come on now.
Well, so we thought we might. I think the audience oftentimes enjoys going behind the scenes a little bit.
This is well edited to make me sound like an idiot.
The only edit in the entirety of this tape is Kevin did use the F word at one point, and we did have to bleep that. But other than that, let's get started and see what it was we had to say.
Okay, and we'll give away some more tickets for our what do we call it? Weekend kickoff? Bush?
Yeah, end of summer or Labor Day weekend party. Featuring a performance by Bush. Okay, so basically, we're starting to promote the fact that we are doing this event that's happening this afternoon. So mm-hmm. Kevin was looking for some clarification. Hey, what are we calling
still
this?
Still so not I clear, by the way.
Helped
it's
out.
For the record, you helped me out not very much.
How did I not help you?
How much help
do you need to say it's a kickoff for the Labor Day weekend?
I need a lot, apparently.
All right, here's Kevin. Plus, we'll give you some more tickets for our... Now, Kevin laughs because what Kevin knows is when he's in this mode where all of a sudden he can't finish one sentence, he's gone. It's not going to happen. He knows now it's not going to happen, right?
And most of the time, the rule is if it's off the air, we don't bring it on the air.
Well, this might have been too magical to leave off the air.
Let's see what happens. Plus, we'll give you some more tickets for our Labor Day kickoff party on Friday afternoon with Bush Tuesday morning. Okay, now Kevin thinks he's done.
I have one
small point.
Labor Day weekend, maybe?
God damn it.
What did I say? Labor Day party?
Labor Day kickoff party.
All right, good enough.
So Kevin is
happy with that.
Kevin's in the mode of good enough, right? He's looking for just somebody in the room to go, yeah, it's good enough. Let's move on. And I go, so
Bean's got a point. Bean's got a point. It's not the Labor Day kickoff.
Come on, it's a Labor Day weekend kickoff.
Right, you didn't say weekend.
Right, you said Labor Day kickoff party, which is, I just think, unclear for our listeners. Okay, now Kevin's in a tizzy. Now he already is having troubles. Now he's mad. Now the last thing he wants to do is go back and try it again. So let's see how he does.
Plus, we'll give you some more tickets for our...
All right, I'm going to do this in pieces because I can't do it. Plus, we'll give you some more tickets for our Labor Day weekend kickoff... For our Labor Day weekend kickoff party with Bush. You all.
Come on now.
He's in the Grammy mode. And by the way, sometimes, and again, this is behind the scenes, there are times where poor Omar has to make like five edits for a 15-second piece of copy.
He has to grab individual words and stitch them together.
Kevin does it syllable by syllable. But it was all in the name of clarification, just so our listeners knew what was up.
That's great. Oh, that's very a useful service that you're providing, Bean.
Good times, right?
F you.
Hey, party people. Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away passes to The Creature.
Yay!
If you're a fan like I am of B-horror movies featuring monsters, much like the creature that comes up out of the swamplands of Louisiana in this film, then you're going to enjoy The Creature. A lot of young people, very attractive. A lot of nudity, a lot of girl-on-girl action, a lot of gore.
All right.
That's all you need. It opens in theaters everywhere next Friday. And if you want to see it for anybody else, next Thursday we're having a special Kevin and Bean advanced screening. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two callers to get through, pair of passes to see The Creature. I want to get to this right away because I want to run out of time. But today is Keanu Reeves' birthday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's 47 years old today, and as we've been mentioning it throughout the morning, getting a lot of email, a lot of requests from people saying, didn't you guys had an interview with him where Bean pretty much dresses him down in the course of the interview? And I said, yes, we do have that interview.
Could I give just a brief backstory?
Certainly.
Please. Bean had been saying this about Keanu Reeves a lot.
Has always
said.
Well,
he's a terrible actor.
Right.
That's what I was saying.
So
and
then,
why was he, at this time, he was a huge star, and I could not put two and two together
right.
for that
one. So then, just before we had him on, I challenged Bean. I was like, listen, are you going to stand up to him like you've been, are you going to say these things to his face that
right.
you've been saying behind his back?
It's hard to say to someone's face the stuff sometimes we say around here.
Really hard.
Someone, yeah.
Yeah. And to Bean's credit, he did.
So here I am with Keanu Reeves from back in the day. Many people believe, I'm one of them, that you are the worst actor of your generation. Is this some way to wash
have
the
bad... Have you seen River's Edge? Have you seen Tune In Tomorrow or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
You know what I saw? I saw Dracula, Much Ado About Nothing, and Little Buddha. That's all I've seen. I got to be honest. Maybe it's not your best work.
You know, you didn't like Little Buddha?
Well, I didn't think you were good in it.
Oh, that was amazing.
Wow, that's really... every time I hear it, I just shake my head and go, that's incredible.
Who could do that?
Only he.
Only Dean.
And I will tell you that not that I regret it, but I do feel bad because by all accounts, Keanu Reeves is the nicest guy in Hollywood. Like, has never said a bad word about anybody. So I do kind of feel bad about that. But, on the other hand, doesn't make him a good actor. Be the
asshole! Only someone completely disconnected from the human race could really talk to someone else like that to their face.
It's his Asperger's, right?
It is. The fact that he is not connected to the rest of us allows him the freedom to be able to say those kind of things with complete disregard for people's feelings.
But isn't that what we love, too?
It's very useful, trust me.
It bites us in the ass a lot.
Yeah.
And we have to backpedal and apologize.
Yeah.
And yet, occasionally,
it's
the scalpel that's needed.
That's remarkable radio right there. That really is.
Keanu, do you think it's unfair?
Yes, it is. It's kind of it's the what is it? It's kind of the it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he does. And rightly so.
Another reason why I love that dude.
So there's everyone who asked for that. You got that. There you go.
He did ruin Dracula. I can tell you that. Ruined it.
Look, he is not right for every project as an actor. I can say that.
He's a perfect
sincerity.
For Bill and Ted. That was perfect casting.
I thought he was good in Speed, for example. I thought he was good in that film. He can be cast well and be useful.
Right. Not in every film.
Not in every film. All right. Remember him in The Replacements where he plays the quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah, that was not good.
But they gave him a difficult speech to have to give in that huddle, too.
I believe I have that for you, Ralph. If we're going to dedicate this show is to Keanu Reeves, right. I think this is the scene you're talking about.
I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. And I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational. But that just wouldn't be our style. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever.
Who could pull that off?
Glory last
forever. I'd like to say F whoever wrote that.
That's brutal.
I mean, I'm with Bean. You can't take the world's best actor and have them pull that off.
No.
That was terrible
reading
writing.
That paragraph on the page, you're like, I have to say this?
Yeah, he must have been. He woke up that morning going, this is going to suck.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about television news. New reality show has been announced. I don't know if you heard or not, but the Wahlberg brothers, Mark, Donnie, and Paul. Mark, of course, Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
Donnie, of course, from The New Kids.
Yes.
And Paul, their brother, is a chef, apparently. They are pooling their resources and starting a restaurant in their hometown of Boston. It is going to be a hamburger restaurant, and it's being called, yes, you guessed it, Wahlburgers. So not only is the restaurant going to exist, but they are doing a reality show based around the creation of Wahlburgers, and currently shopping it around around networks to see who wants to pick up Wahlburgers, the series.
Are the brothers going to be working at the Wahlburgers?
No, I believe they are just going to be responsible for getting the restaurant up and running.
Yeah.
And that's what the reality show will be, is the trials and tribulations of getting a restaurant open to the public. I believe that's the backstory.
Let me know how that is.
Wahlburgers, the series.
Yeah.
Please tune in, won't you?
Nope.
It's not easy being a vampire. Just ask Alexander Skarsgård. He's got a lot of fans from True Blood who come up to him, and he tells Black Book Magazine a lot of those fans ask him to bite them.
I'm sure they do.
They expose their necks and say, would you please bite me?
And they're probably serious.
They're very serious.
Yeah.
And he said he's had to refuse it over and over again. He said that will never happen. Not because it's just plain weird, but he said if I did it for one person, I'd have to do it for everyone.
He'd have to bite everyone.
He'd have to bite every fan that came up to him. If word got out that he was giving out bites, there'd be a line around the block for biting. So he doesn't bite you.
And I'm guessing
chicks love him.
A lot of those people that want to be bitten are not the ones that you would choose to bite.
Good point.
Yes. You would have to get through a lot of flesh to get to the vein, I think, is what we're saying on some of the women who love the True Blood. That's all we're saying. And while we're doing geek news, Hugh Jackman is set to get started to film on his next Wolverine movie. The superhero sequel is due out next year, so they're going to start shooting in Japan. The premise, apparently, is Wolverine is suffering from amnesia and is searching for answers about his past while he takes on the Japanese criminal underworld. Remember that movie Black Rain with Michael Douglas and Andy Garcia? No. Mm-hmm. About the Japanese criminal underworld, the Yakuza. Oh, it's a great film. You would like it, Kevin. You really should check it out. And it's in color. You'll like it. It's good and everything. But that's what this reminds me of. Wolverine taking on the Japanese mafia. Sounds like a good
idea. Imagine those steel things come out of his hand, and for the first time, he's like, what's that?
Hey, I forgot I had these.
How did that happen?
Thought somebody warned me about that. Today's celebrity birthday, as we already mentioned, Keanu Reeves is 47 years old today, but Mark Harmon also celebrates his 60th birthday. Here's another guy at 60, looks better than we ever did at 30, by the way. Former heavyweight champ Lennox Lewis is 46. Salma Hayek turns 45 years old. Cynthia Watros is 43. She was so good on Lost. Not a good driver, but an excellent, excellent actress. Cat Williams, 38 years old today. Sam Rivers, bassist of Limp Bizkit, is 34. Our pal Harvey Levin is 61 years old today. And a friend of the show, Nell Rivers, also celebrates his birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Hey, it's Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. David Hasselhoff, out of another job. We'll tell you what's going on with him in about 15 minutes. First, though, yesterday I brought up on the show this story that is so fascinating to me, and I hope you guys were able to hear about it. These Cornell University doctorate students are working in the field of artificial intelligence for robots. And what they've done is they have this program where robots have conversations with people. And they memorize, record, and interpret thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of conversation. And the longer they do it, the more human-like their responses become. So you can actually have a conversation. You can sit down and talk to a robot, and he can understand what it is you're talking about and answer you back, right? So they thought it would be an interesting experiment to take two of these robots, program one of them to say hi to the other, and then just let the two robots go off and have their own conversation with no further human interaction. Am I explaining this sufficiently?
Yes. No. I'm sorry. What happened?
So here are two robots who have been given the voices of a man and a woman having a conversation from scratch, started with just hi. And I think it's so interesting to see where these guys go based on the input of thousands of hours of conversation. Listen up.
Hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. You?
I'm okay.
That's good.
Are you good?
Yes, I am good. I just said I was.
No, you didn't.
Okay, now, to me, this is trouble that they're 12 seconds into the conversation and she's already breathing down his neck. Like, get off me.
Who did they use for the input? I mean, was it just a bunch of a-holes that they had to argue all day?
I think honestly, these programs talk to thousands of people. You know, I think it's an input of, you know, everybody that they speak with. But it is interesting to see the turn that, again, with no further human interaction, it's interesting to see where the robots go on their own.
I said I was.
So you are a robot?
No, my name is Cliverbot.
Yes, you are a robot and your name is Cliverbot.
I am a robot.
Yes, I know.
Together we are robots.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
Okay, so
he's tripping balls. That robot's tripping balls.
My question is, whoever provided that conversation for that robot?
You know, we have nothing to worry about the robots because they're both just idiots. These robots are dumb. I mean, he did say he was good. She goes, no, you didn't. Yes, he did. So you're an idiot chick robot, and he says he's a unicorn, so he's a tripping balls idiot male robot.
Well, it is, let's be honest, it is, although funny and fascinating, it is artificial intelligence. It's not real intelligence yet. They've got a long way to go. But we were talking about this yesterday. I mean, we're very close to the point where you can have little robots who are running around in your house or something that you can tell to do something and they will do it and they will understand, they will answer back.
But I don't want to have a conversation with them.
Well, I mean, I think we've still got a ways to go, but I think this is the beginning of substitute people, which is what I've been hoping for.
Fewer real
people and more substitute people. I love where this is going. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think we've been able to communicate with computers and robots for some time now, humans to robot communication. We can ask them questions and they can respond and give us information and stuff. Right. What fascinates me about this story is that the two robots are interacting with each other. They don't even need humans to be in the middle of the deal. They are able to communicate with each other poorly, but to transfer information back and forth between two robots, I think is interesting. And we were inspired here in the show when you guys played this earlier in the week. We would like to have you guys replaced by robots. That's our plan. It would be much easier if Kevin and Bean were not the stars of the Kevin and Bean Show any longer.
How would we be replaced by robots?
If we could get Kevin and Bean...
In fact, I just proved Ralph's point.
Now you know why we want robot hosts on the show, because we go, that's
well done.
If we had two robots hosting the show, then
it would be flawless.
It would be easier for the rest of us. So what we did was we contacted the people at Cornell, and we gave them thousands and thousands of hours of Kevin and Bean on the Kevin and Bean show.
I see.
They programmed all that information into these robots, and we asked them to have a conversation between the robot Kevin and Bean and see how that would go. So they've done that for us, and they sent us the tape bag. This is the first time we're getting a chance to hear it. What would a robot Kevin and Bean conversation sound like?
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, I went to see the Taylor Swift concert last night. What? She is so good live. She played her song Mean and Mine. I was hoping for Moan. You are so creepy. I'm Bean. Aww. Why did you go see Taylor Swift? You are not so stinging. What? You know what I'm trying to say. I own many animals. They all have frivolous names, like Tater Tot. Ha, ha, ha. You should die. What? Why should I die? I did not say that. Yes, you just did. You are mistaken. Are you a long time? Do you watch all the time? Long time fan him? I love Rachel Nichols, and I believe she loves me as well, even though there is no reason to believe that. She's not going to want to come on our show pretty soon, come around time here. What? I have issues with my belly button. You are an idiot. I like soccer. It is good. What? Coming up next, we're for front and turn beetle.
I can't wait for that show.
Oh, me too.
That show sounds good. Ralph Garman is here. It is time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean show. Take us out into the weekend with some good news, would you, Ralph?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. I don't have that ability, at least not in this batch of stories. I mentioned in the last hour how Alexander Skarsgård gets the strange request from his True Blood fans to bite them. Mm-hmm. They come up to him and they expose their neck and say, "Would you please bite me?"
What do you think? Most of them are kidding?
I don't know.
Doesn't sound like it.
You were at Comic-Con. You saw the True Blood fans.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think a lot of the ladies are watching the show going, oh, my God, I would so love him on top of me biting my neck. It would be so sexy and romantic. Let's make it happen in real life.
Plus, I get to live forever then after that happens.
I don't think they believe that. But
can't look in a mirror. But other than that, a lot of good stuff going on as a vampire. But it turns out not every celebrity has that problem about biting people. Christopher Mintz-Plasse, we talked to him about Fright Night.
Yes.
He told the London Sun that while they were filming the movie, Colin Farrell went a little too far in his role as a vampire. Bit him in the neck so hard he started bleeding.
All right!
It turns out Colin's prosthetic fangs were sharp and longer than he anticipated. He wasn't used to working with them. So they're shooting the scene where he bites Christopher's neck, and apparently he drew blood.
Sweet!
Oh, I'd so sue that Irish bastard. He said he was scared for his life in that scene, and it turned out he was right. Actually, he drew blood with the fake teeth. So, not easy being an actor.
No.
Got to be careful.
Sure.
Taylor Lautner, while we're talking about vampires and werewolves and whatnot, he's got a new movie in the pipeline, just announced this week. He will play David to Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Goliath in the movie Goliath, which is based on the biblical tale of the giant killer. Goliath is a giant. David's not.
Are they doing this for kids? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
I don't
kids
know.
Kids or adults? Because it would be a very different movie for...
Could go either way.
Depending on who they're shooting for.
It says it's going to be a period piece based on the biblical tale, but no real other details are being released. Right. And this goes further in trying to create an image for Taylor Lautner as a action star, I guess. It would be great if Goliath transforms into like a machine or something and they update it. It'd be cool.
It's just Hollywood pushing the Bible on people again, like they
do. Oh, them with their biblical agenda.
Trying to make things all
shoving
religious.
Family values down our throats.
Like they do.
Yes.
I don't know. I have no idea whether Taylor Lautner will make the transition to being an adult star or not, but I will tell you that Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart will not. They are over after Twilight, those two.
You think?
I think they're zeros, both of them. I really do. I think they were in the right place at the right time. Incredibly lucky to have that franchise. I hope they save their money.
What about that movie where Rob Pattinson played that guy who was all sad about that girl?
Yeah. Right. He sure showed his range that one, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I think you're proving his point.
Joe Jonas wants to be a movie star.
Now we're talking about some Hollywood royalty. Now we talk about a guy who can't miss.
Double J just got the news from his management team. They have raised the financing for a film project that Joe's trying to get off the ground himself. Joe says it's a movie about finding himself. I'd like him to find himself in a shallow grave out in the desert someplace.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
You could take whoever you think is the best actor in the world today, right now, and give him a movie about finding himself, and they would be hard-pressed to make that an interesting thing to watch.
When Joe got the news that the financing was in place, he was so happy he broke into tears, he says.
He broke into tears?
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
Nope, this is not Nick.
Joe, it's a different
Joe.
One.
This is the is this the Mexican one?
We don't know.
We have established that we don't know anything about the Jonas Brothers.
About the Jonas
Brothers. Right. We really covered that earlier. We don't know. We do not know
okay.
who the Jonases are, what they do.
Okay.
Ah, I wish I'd been on this plane ride. Chris Humphries, new groom of Kim Kardashian, was on a plane ride last Sunday, according to the New York Post. He was seated next to Ray J.
Oh, no.
Co-star of the Kim Kardashian sex video.
Sweet.
Former lover and husband sitting next to each other.
I would give anything to have heard that. To be sitting near them.
According to the Page Six article, the gentleman endured a very awkward silence. And then Ray J offered his congratulations to Chris. Reportedly, Chris initially didn't recognize Ray J, didn't know who he was, and then it all started to fall into place for him. That must have been a bad realization.
Awkward.
You want some peanuts? You got
hey, wait a minute! You're that guy who banged my wife on video!
Put out the video!
Why is Chris Humphries flying somewhere a week after marrying his wife without her, by the way? What's that about?
Wouldn't you?
Get away from the family?
Will she ever shut up? All she does is sing Jam all day long. How do I stop this? They play in my Jam.
Where are you going? Anywhere else?
We're on our honeymoon. I know. Bye.
Reality show news. Mark Wahlberg and his brothers Donnie and Paul are putting together their own restaurant, a burger joint called Wahlburgers.
Ah!
If you've ever seen Mark Wahlberg act, you know that the burgers will be made totally out of ham. See what I did there? Because he's a ham.
Put that in.
Go ahead and file that. They're going to make a reality TV series about opening the restaurant Wahlburgers.
Nope.
Nothing more entertaining than people opening a restaurant.
Have you seen Famous Food?
No.
What is Famous
you're not
Food?
Famous Food?
No.
What is that?
What kind of time do you have on your hands that you would watch Famous Food?
Because I had to watch an episode of Famous Food.
Why?
Because it's awesome.
Was it about a Philadelphia restaurant?
No. Oh. It was about six or eight pseudo celebrities.
Nope.
Who they bring together to open a restaurant. They say, here's the space. You guys open.
Wasn't Heidi Spencer in that?
Heidi Spencer was in it.
What? No!
Big Pussy was in it. Jake Pelveca, one of the bachelors of the Bachelorette show. It was a bunch of loser celebrities trying to open a restaurant. And
no.
Boy, do they have...
No.
conflicting opinions.
Nope.
About how the restaurant should be opened.
No! Enough. No!
They fight a lot on Famous Food.
No. No.
I recommend it highly.
Hell no.
Get the box set. Watch
no.
It.
I refuse.
Watch
no.
It all.
No.
Watch it all in one sitting.
No.
No. Oh, I wouldn't hear of it. Absolutely not.
Come on.
New.
All right.
Had enough.
I got it. You guys aren't down with Famous Food.
No, a thousand times no.
We got you.
Oh, God, no, oh, no, okay. no.
Understood. Not going to watch Famous Food. We've established that.
We're just playing around now.
And congratulations to Kevin Smith, my buddy. He's got a reality show that's going to be on AMC.
No!
Oh,
no!
Come on, it's Kevin's show.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's called Secret Stash, and it's all about his New Jersey comic book store, Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. It was here in L.A. for a bit. They had one out here, and they've since closed it. But the one in Jersey is still going strong. And so it's going to be a reality show about the comic book guys who work there and the fanboys who come in and get their books every Wednesday. It's going to be very entertaining, I believe. Kevin said regarding the fact that it's on AMC, if they'd pushed a little harder in negotiations, I'd have done this show for no payment beyond early access to every episode of Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and Walking Dead. So he's very happy to be on AMC.
Do you still go to the comic book stores every week when the new books come out, Ralph?
Every Wednesday.
Really?
I go to the Golden Apple comic book shop, which is the legendary Los Angeles comic book store on Melrose and La Brea there. I go there every Wednesday, and I see my friends Ryan and Cheryl, and they've got my books waiting for me. They pull them for me now. Wow. I don't have to go through the racks and pick them out.
You're a gigantic geek.
I say, yes, please, I'd like my books, and they pull them out.
They have them waiting?
They say, here you go, Mr. Garman, here are your books.
Don't tell that story to people.
Everybody on the pull list, as they call it. The pull list.
Pull.
Who gets their books pulled for them before they get there, gets a nickname.
Yours is?
The Voice.
Yeah,
oh my God. Boy.
Really?
Books for The Voice, please.
What's happening?
Don't.
What's happening?
Please don't tell anyone that story.
It's a very exciting time in the world of comic books,
listen,
Kevin,
to
because
me.
As you may know,
that's
DC
fine.
Is rebooting all
great.
Of their comic book.
Happy for you.
So it's all number ones now. Justice League, Batman,
I'm
Superman,
concerned with
action
you.
Comics.
Don't tell people that.
Very exciting.
The Voice.
Voice goes in and gets his books every Wednesday. It's new
you
comic
are,
book.
You
day.
Are so going to be on this new TV show, aren't you? This
I
new
wish,
Secret Stash show.
I wish I could be there, but they're shooting in New Jersey.
They're going to be shooting, and Ralph's going to walk in like time after time.
Cut!
A little far away from me.
Ralph, we can't put you in again.
Up here on the New Jersey show, but I would if I could.
Is The Voice going to go?
The Voice will not be there. The Voice stays local.
I think the show is going to be the guys behind the counter of the comic book store making fun of guys like The Voice once they leave the shop. I think that's the show.
How dare you.
Here comes that dude that we call The Voice and he likes it.
Voice sounds like a cool superhero. I might have to create my own book, The Voice.
You better go down the hall and check that with Carson Daly first before you get too excited about the name.
That's true. I might have to check that out with legal. Speaking of Smith, come see us tomorrow night, won't you, at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater up on Universal City Walk. We do our show Hollywood Babylon. We've been on the road for a little bit, but we're back in town tomorrow night at 10 p.m. We're doing the show. Come see me and Kevin make fun of people who have better careers than we do. And a lot of geek news to cover also this weekend.
Oh, you're
going to
be going
Kevin
crazy.
And Bean don't let me do as much geek news as I'd like.
How could you do more?
I'm just saying, I can do a lot more.
That's not possible.
We dedicate an entire segment to it.
That's
in
all
Babylon.
You do is geek news.
Go to BabylonRalph.com to buy tickets and for more details. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mark Harmon of NCIS fame. He is 60 years old today. You know, as college football rolls around, a lot of people forget that Mark was a UCLA
USC,
Bruin.
Right?
Oh,
UCLA.
UCLA.
That's right.
Bruin.
UCLA, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
His dad was there, too, for many years.
Good-looking 60, man.
He
I know
is.
Mo, but come on. Good-looking 60-year-old
He's
dude.
Good-looking fella. I've been following his career since St. Elsewhere. He was on that show. He's a very, very good actor. Keanu Reeves is 47 years old today. Maybe not such a good actor, depending on who you talk to.
Oh, no, he's the best.
Former boxing heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis is 46. Salma Hayek is 45. Ooh. Have you seen Salma Hayek's photo spread in Allure magazine, by
no.
the way?
No. I will look for that.
Great googly moogly. Cynthia Watros is 43 years old today. Actor Cat Williams turns 38. And our buddies Harvey Levin celebrates his birthday today. He, of course, of TMZ fame. He's 61. And Anell Rivers, our buddy, is also celebrating his birthday today. So we wish them the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We will be back Tuesday. We've got some highlights of our weekend with Bush. We have Harvey Levin on the program.
Happy birthday, Harvey.
We have Adam Carolla on the program. And is George Lucas an asshole?
Oh, yeah.
All Tuesday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Think you want to go eat some tuna?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. Did I pass out from the pain in my penis and suddenly we're not in America anymore?
But the photo shoot didn't look good.
Just pass it around.
What are you, expert?
I don't want to enjoy, my friend.
Do you understand me?
I'll just pass it on down.
Well, I guess all's well that ends well. No. I didn't mean that as a joke. I just meant that as a general comment to wrap things up.
Wait, how was that funny? Look, I don't have time for this, okay?
Bang, done.
Bang, done?
Yeah, that's the end of the meeting. When I say bang, it's over. You don't know that by now. Let's do it again, one more. Bang. You're still here. Do you need help out of the chair? What's the problem?
God damn it, I love that show.
Me too, I want it to be on again right now.
It's the best show since no other show.